go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are, a minute past the hour, and we begin a brand new broadcast week on the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go if you want to, jump into the merry madcap mayhem that is the multimedia experience at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com's chat room. Just click on chat room when you're there, and bang, you'll be in. There you'll find Jeremy in Vermont, who lets me know loud and clear on TuneIn. Bob, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. It is much appreciated. Also in there to begin this Moran Monday evening, Anatole and Jug of Punch, Kathy, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who is not apparently folding space tonight. But that's fine. That's fine. More will be by as the evening progresses. Feel free to jump in. All you got to do is pick yourself out a screen name, a password, and bang, you're right there. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, the ever-present, ubiquitous Contribute tab, and that's where you go if you want to be a member of the 400 Club. Oh, dear, I'm going to hate myself for that. The 400 Club, we're looking for 400 people to subscribe at $10 a month, which works out to about less than 17 cents per hour of programming. And that will, once we get to 400, there will never be another fundraising pitch. It will just be self-sustaining. And won't that be wonderful? Yes. In the meantime, though, we do try to raise... And thank you very kindly, Felicia, for jumping in on the subscription bandwagon. That's much appreciated. I got a nice note from her last night. Thank you very, very kindly. And... let's see. You just fill out the stuff and you leave out the part about where you work and who you work for. No, we don't care. That was a PayPal thing. And you just get to the next screen and that's where you make all your choices. But, you know, there at the very beginning, there's a little dot. You can put a little dot by $10 and then you little dot where it says make this a recurring contribution. And it just happens. Thank you very, very kindly in advance. But, you know, until then, yeah, we try to raise $200 an evening. And that's what we're doing this evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter. You know how that goes. Right. So there we go. And it is, as previously noted, Moran Monday. Mm-hmm. And that means, of course, that we're going to have a merry time this evening because we got quite a little selection lined up here. Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Just Jim Dandy. Enough screwing around. Let's get after it.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know.
Step right up, step right up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You will not believe your ears. The Calliope has not crashed to the ground. It is, as you can hear, playing dutifully away for this Moran Monday on the Horn. Here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find all manner of Morans. Birther Morans, Deather Morans, Ninther Morans, Tenther Morans, Bagger Morans, Booger-Eaten Morans, Libertarian Morans, Bircher Morans, Republican Morans, one and all. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. You can't tell the Morans without a program. And this is the program that, for less than 17 cents per hour, tries to tell the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Indeed, indeed. As you step behind the thin cybernetic veil of this here Moran Monday display tent curtain, just be aware that you need to hang on to wallets, keychains, purses, children, small animals, European messenger bags, as the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, and we will, too. I can feel them tingling. Yes, indeed. Oh, dear. Where to begin? Where to begin? No, it's too serious. Okay, so this isn't a right-wing Moran, but I feel like we need to get the nomination out there. An early Moran Monday nomination for the League of Conservation Voters, whom I generally thought well of, but their political arm has, because they're a 501c3, so they can't just up and run out and endorse somebody. But their 501c4 communications arm, I presume, or their PAC or whatever it is, has officially, as of, you know, today, endorsed Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton for her campaign to become the president. Mm-hmm. Gene Karpinski is president of the League of Conservation Voters Action Fund. And Gene Karpinski said, "When it comes to fighting the climate crisis, the stakes couldn't be higher. We are confident that Hillary Clinton is the right person for the job. Hillary Clinton is without a doubt the most effective leader to stand up to big polluters and push forward an aggressive plan to tackle climate change and get it done." Are we talking about the same Hillary Clinton? No, I'm not going to engage in Hillary bashing. I'm not into that. Friends of the Earth Action President Eric Pika told Think Progress the League of Conservation Voters' endorsement of Hillary Clinton is not surprising. She is the safe candidate in this race. She's also the establishment candidate in this race. If you look at their record, Senator Sanders has consistently led on the issues we care about, talking about Friends of the Earth. Right. Now, here's the fun part. Comparing apples to apples. Well, the League of Conservation Voters does a scorecard on environmental policy, voting record kind of stuff. All right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so during the time that Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton was in the Senate, she got an 82% lifetime record on the League of Conservation Voters' own scorecard. This is their scorecard, remember. On the other hand, well, there's Bernie Sanders. Bernie's League of Conservation Voters scorecard score? Remember, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's was 82. Yeah. Senator Sanders' scorecard is a, that would be a rock-solid 95. So there's Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton down there at a B-, and there's Senator Sanders at, you know, a rock-solid A. Or it could be a C plus. I mean, it depends on whose scale you're using. Mm-hmm. But you know, part of the, it's okay. Wait. Let's not be too hard on her, because part of the reason she got that low B, high C, that 82, was because back when she was getting beaten by Barack Obama in the 2008 election cycle, well, she missed a whole lot of votes in the Senate, a bunch, and so missing the votes, it gets counted against you by the League of Conservation Voters. So that's probably what took her to down to that the low B, high C, that 82. Because if you had only counted the votes she voted in and you didn't count the missed votes, well, she'd have a 90. It's still not the 95 that Senator Sanders has, but, well, all right. Yeah. Mark Longabaugh, who is a spokesman for the Sanders campaign, said that the announcement was, in his words, very disappointing. Longabaugh said Hillary Clinton waffled on that issue for a long time, talking about KXL, Keystone XL. Even at that moment, she said that the issue was a distraction back in September when she finally decided she was against it. Longabaugh continued, I don't think the millions of grassroots activists in the movement across the country that worked to stop the pipeline, I don't believe those individuals actually believe that Keystone was a distraction. Well, no. No. And, of course, there's the fact that at the debate back in October, Senator Sanders said that climate change is the national security issue facing the United States. And I forget, what did Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton say? Islamic! No, she didn't say that. But, of course, I guess some of this makes a little bit of sense, because Carol Browner is the chair of the League of Conservation Voters Board. Mm-hmm. That very self-same Carol Browner was the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency under Bill Clinton. Right. Mm-hmm. No response from the Clinton campaign. I guess it was just taken for granted. I don't necessarily think that you can take, I don't let anybody dictate how I vote. I think I do a pretty good job of understanding the issues. And so I don't need the League of Conservation Voters to tell me who to vote for. And I don't know anybody who does. I don't know that following endorsements is that important anymore, except perhaps as a sort of emotional PR kind of thing. And so I don't know. Maybe they'll send out flyers saying, "Vote for Hillary," whatever. But I think it is abundantly clear in this race that Senator Sanders has by far the better record. And for me, I mean, it's easy, because I have personal knowledge of the fact that he despises that environmental torment that has been the ruination of vast mountain complexes and ridgelines and entire areas of my state and my region, Central Appalachia and West Virginia stand in particular. Mountaintop removal. Senator Sanders wants to end it. He'd like to figure out a way to end it. We've had discussions, with his staffers about ending it. Senator Clinton, not so much. She had a chance to condemn mountaintop removal when she came here campaigning in 2008. And didn't. Of course, nobody She doesn't have anybody she loves that lives near it. She's never sat in a hotel room or the hospital room or a funeral home watching someone leave this planet, having breathed the poisonous filth off of these sites. Her little grandbaby is never going to be affected by this, so, you know, why should she care? someday we're going to do videos so that I can share these things. Thank you, Carol Baker. I agree. I don't care who you are. That there's funny. A carton of Ben and Jesus loaves and fishes, all natural ice cream, with the portrait of Ben and Klingon Jesus there on the carton, and a golden pyramid in the background. Yeah, that's great. And I don't know, maybe Starbucks is going to put Ben Carson's picture and scrawl Merry Christmas on their cups now that the poor persecuted babies, the evangelical fundamentalist phony Christians, they're real Christians, what am I saying, are having a fit. You know this, of course, right? I mean, Jesus, I feel stupid talking about this. But yeah, the babies are throwing a tantrum because Starbucks, which of course is a corporation, and corporations are people too, my friend. Their Christmas time paper coffee cup is just red. You know, with the green Starbucks symbol in it. Mm-hmm. That means that Starbucks is at war with Christmas. Well, they're a pretty big outfit. Maybe they can win. And then we can go back to celebrating the holidays in some reasonable, non-miserable fashion without being constantly upbraided by these Bible bangers. Bastards. Mm-hmm. So I guess... The Christers are taking their own magic markers with them now so they can write Merry Christmas on their cups. Ow, the stupid, it hurts us. Running over to the mailbox real quick. Steve pointing out, I think Bernie went even further than that. He called climate change the greatest existential threat. He may well have, but I remember the question being, what is the greatest national security threat? And he went, climate change. You know, because when land that is occupied by millions and millions of people winds up underwater, short of growing gills, that's not going to be good for the country. Meanwhile, Michael in Madison, Major League Conservation Voters is the subject line. Did the league also declare the Cubbies world champs for 2015? Cubs win! Cubs win! Yeah. Oh, by the way, we figured it out. Those Starbucks cups. You know who else wears red? Satan! It's no mistake that you can just transpose a couple of letters and get Satan or Santa. Hmm? Yeah. Thank you very kindly to Gerald for joining up with the 400 Club. Much appreciated. Trying to reach the first 100. I got to counting. We're not there yet, but we've got a fighting chance. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you very kindly, and thank you to everybody who signed up so far, and longtime subscribers as well. Thank you very, very much. Oh, let's see here. Now, speaking of Gerald, I don't know how he rigs this, but it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that Gerald is gaming the system. Mm-hmm. Because the proliferation of this kind of stuff, I mean, my God, we're fairly early into the program. Over on Huffington Post, Jebya, the pathetic Bush, you know, W is the dumb Bush, Jebya's the pitiful one. This is what years of noogies and swirlies will do to you. Over at the Huffington Post, asked in an on-camera interview that was filmed on the Bush campaign bus over up in New Hampshire. Huffington Post asked Jebya, oh dear God, the Hitler question. 621. Who had 621? Gerald had 621, of course. And Gerald's a liberal, and I guess sneaky liberals. That's how he manages to game the system. 621 on this evening's Hitler pool. Oh, for heaven's sakes! Who thinks this is a good idea? Who thinks this is a good question? How does this have anything to do with one's qualification to be president of the new United States of America? Mm-hmm. Well, might as well get this. It's Moran Monday. I mean, it's par for the course, right? So, who's surprised? Because this is some restaurant quality Moranity, no doubt about it. Sheesh. Still.
What are we doing here?
Well, I heard you're here to talk about your emails.
So.
Your email address on Reddit today, is that right?
I don't know if it was Reddit or not, but good God.
What's the funniest or most bizarre email that you've gotten?
So I got to figure out which ones are not X-rated. That's the only problem.
Baby Hitler.
We have a request for Baby Hitler.
I said, if you could go back in time and kill Baby Hitler, would you? I need to know.
And?
Hell yeah, I would.
Even if he was really cute?
No, look, you gotta step up, man. I mean, that would be key. Problem with going back in history and doing that is, as we know from the series, what was the name of the Michael Fox movies?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Oh, stop! No, really, quit it. Oh, quit it! That can't. No, that cannot be real. Yeah. What's the name of that Michael Fox movie? I mean, you know, we just had the, and I mean, it. What was that? Up to the past, down to the present. That'd be your back to. Jesus God. Not that you have to know the name. Not that you have to immediately be able to come up with Back to the Future. Even though I do have a Doc Brown Pop Funko figurine here in the studio with me now, alongside the gargoyle and the gnome, courtesy of Sparky. You don't have to just, but really? Yeah, that Fox kid, the one, yeah, that one. What does this bizarre, dysfunctional family do to entertain itself? I mean, is it really just all wedgies and swirlies and noogies? what's that thing you're passing my groceries in front of? It looks like some sort of electronic mark of the demon beast eye or something there.
He was really cute.
No, look, you gotta step up, man. I mean, that would be key. Problem with going back in history and doing that is, as we know from the series, what was the name of the Michael Fox movies?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, it could have a dangerous effect
That's
on
true.
on everything
there's
else.
A lot
so
to consider in this.
But I'd do it. I mean, okay. Hitler.
Well, you're down. I mean, there's no backing out now.
I mean, you know, Hitler. Moments like this, I just want to just put on some music and walk away for a little bit. And this happens. This is a thing because the New York Times Magazine put an unofficial poll online last month asking people who read the New York Times Magazine website, if you could go back in time, would you kill Hitler as a baby? Little baby Hitler. So apparently all the fetuses, and certainly some of the postborns, are not precious. Big, you got to step up, man. Yeah, see, he says man there, so we'll know that he's a hep cat. Neato. Groovy. Bad. Mm-hmm. And here's the fun part. I love the way Huffington Post writes this. A plurality of respondents said they would, in fact, kill Hitler as a baby. Plurality. Not an overwhelming majority. And I don't know quite how to take that. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. But but that's the eternal question. Is it a matter of a bad seed, or is it nature, or is it nurture? And that question is still open. But that, okay, I guess. Meanwhile. There's another conference coming, probably up in Iowa, Ouija. Mm-hmm. They had one this past weekend, and it was I must say a real Lulu. Your Ted Cruz, your pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee there. Yeah. It's all there. Mm-hmm. And what a time it was. Oh. Kevin Swanson was the organizer. This is the Freedom 2015 National Religious Liberties Conference was the official name of this thing. And apparently religious liberty is all about who you're mad at. And in this case, well, imaginary people. But then again, they live in an imaginary world. So by now, most everybody knows what the movie Frozen is. Well, they had a breakout session called The Decline of Freedom. From the Bill of Rights to the 10 Planks of Communism, America's Domestic Enemies, and Where They Came From. That's a mouthful. Well, enter Jeff Botkin. No, not Bodkin, not like in Bear Bodkin in Shakespeare. No. But no, Jeff Botkin, Botkin. He's with the Western Conservatory of the Arts and Sciences. God only knows. But he's mad. Yeah, he's mad at he's mad at the movie Frozen, and particularly that one cute little adorable little tune.
Libertinism from the original rebel, the original radical. And we heard from the Denham brothers today. they were shocked to read about Saul Alinsky and his dedication in front of his book, Rules for Radicals, to the first radical state dedicated to him. Because absolutely he was the first radical. The first earthly rebel who was tempted by him was who? Was Eve. He tried to give her a different definition of freedom. Economic analysts are predicting that one of the best-selling toys of this Christmas season will be this little singing doll here that comes with a microphone, who sings an anthem about freedom, a different definition of freedom. Can you see that up there?
Yeah, well, mercifully, no, because, you know, it's radio, so we can't see what he's doing with the doll. And we're probably glad about that. And by the way, Jeremy, on the whole killing baby Hitler, thinks that we realize that if we went back and killed Hitler, another straw man would just have filled his place, such as what happened with bin Laden, by the way, in trying to save up enough grain to start to fill up the 7,000-year-old silos called the pyramids. Greetings from Egypt. Jeff Botkin. Remember, he's holding up a doll to a group of fundies. Mm-hmm. And talking about the doll is advocating for a different version of religious freedom. Got that?
She sings, and you can sing with her, and she can sing with you on the microphone. The top-selling Disney song about freedom and personal identity that says a lot about America's truest affections, sin and lawlessness. These are just some of the words from one of the stanzas.
Oh, good.
It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. See that? Why is this so popular?
Sounds kind of libertarian to me, doesn't it, you? No right, no wrong, no rules for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, the decrepit old Ayn Rand would probably just be sitting there tapping her strange little... Well, you know, while Alan Greenspan didn't have her toes in his mouth. She'd just be tapping that foot.
Yeah. And when you come up to a stop sign, a red light, and they're singing it in the car next to you. Okay? Now, who's doing it? Certainly no Christian families, right? Certainly none of our sons or daughters. Certainly no parents in our churches, right? Or have we given so in to this spirit of licentiousness that we love this in our hearts? I mean, this is one of the most popular songs being bought and subsidized by Americans, and also all over the world. Why? Because of the appeal. I mean, this is straight out of where? Genesis chapter 3.
No, really, that's about as much of him as I can stand for at least a few more seconds. You heard the spirit of licentiousness line. Oh, for pity's sakes. I've got grandchildren who love that song. They love that movie. I've never seen it. I probably should. I mean, it sounds pretty revolutionary, doesn't it? Except for it's not. It's just a computer animated little core thing to make the Disney company some more money. With a nice little soundtrack. I always thought Let It Go was about not letting things bother you. Not letting the bastards get you down, that kind of thing. But no. According to this this perfect, near perfect manifestation of morality, Jeff Botkin of the Western Conservatory of the Arts and Sciences, whatever that is, no, it is Satan's rebellion anthem. You heard that right. Wait. Satan's Rebellion Anthem. Oh, say, can you burn? No. But be warned. I mean, it's not like Jeff Botkin didn't tell you. You go around singing that song. You watch that movie. Yeah. Yeah, you smell the sulfur? You smell the brimstone, do you? Well, you should, because God's going to get you for listening to it. Because God is love.
People who reject God's law become enemies of God. But you don't just say, okay, it's just my opinion now that it's okay to be relativistic now in the 21st century. You don't do that. You cannot do that. People who reject God's law for any purpose whatsoever become enemies of God. God acknowledges that you become an enemy of God, and He does go to war against you. Save for a nation. You are classified as an idolater. Why? Because it's not possible. You need to understand this principle. It's not possible to rebel against the Lord without coming up with an entirely new rival law system. And even maybe you're singing Elsa's song in the shower, and you're rejecting God's law and God's will for your life.
Wait, wait, wait. The Almighty Creator of the universe is going to reach down and just bzzzt, when you're there. I mean, electricity and showers, you know, it's dangerous. Bzzzt, and you, because you were singing Let It Go in the shower? I'm having a hard time getting my head around the nature of this whole God is love thing. Yeah. So to recap, God let little baby Hitler live, but He's going to zap the bejesus right out of you for listening to Let It Go while and singing it in the shower. Now who's got? I mean, this clown was talking about moral relativism. Who's got a moral relativism problem? Us secular progressive liberals or His God? Got people fighting and starving and dying all over the planet, but they're vengeful Jehovah El Allah Yahweh is gonna just pinch your little head off and flick it into hell for singing a song from a children's movie. But don't worry, Elsa didn't get all the spotlight there. At the religious liberties freedom thing. No, because you know, many are the dark and satanic forces, the powers and principalities that are gathered in opposition to the Almighty Creator of the universe, who you would think could just kind of flick their little kick out, get it like a mosquito, but no, apparently not. Yeah, if God will pinch your head off and flick it into hell for singing Let It Go in the shower, imagine what He'll do if you sing He Touched Me. Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Or, well, any number of tunes, really. No singing in the shower. That's the only way to be safe, because we don't know what kind of music God likes. And yes, it's yours, and you can wash it as fast as you want. And Gerald noting, well, at least McCarthyism's still alive and well in the good old USA. Oh, by the way, we now know how it is that Gerald wins the Hitler pool every night. He's given up his secret. It's not like you can do anything about it. Gerald says, I listen in on my solid gold Obama phone. That's why I always win. Yeah, you don't have a solid gold Obama phone, do you? You didn't get any free stuff. Right. So there at the National Religious Liberties Conference, Kevin Swanson, who wants to kill all the gay people, hosted Ted Cruz, Huxterby, Bobby Jindal. Mm-hmm. And of course, there was a whole lot of repent hollering going on. And there's all kinds of immorality all over Merca, according to Kevin Swanson. Almost kind of saw this coming, didn't we? Yeah, I think so.
Friends, we are on the very cusp of judgment as I see it. And we need to call America to repentance. You say, repentance from what? Repentance from defying the Almighty. Repentance of abortion. Repentance of the hundreds of millions of dead bodies. I don't know how many children have been aborted by way of abortion patients and by way of the surgical abortion since the 1960s. But I...
Since the 1960s? Excuse me? I could have sworn Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973. I know. I'm not so good with the ciphering and the gazettas, but I'm feeling pretty confident about that one. 1973 Roe v. Wade. I mean, after all, we get reminded every freaking winter when busloads of weirdos go to Washington D.C. and stand out in the freezing cold. Mourning the loss of the precious little fetuses. All killed since 1970. But Kevin Swanson's pushing it back a little bit because, well, I mean, you know, what about the abortifacients? By that, he means the pill. And by that, he means the broad brush legalization of contraception that occurs as a result of Griswold versus Connecticut. And let me just tell you, because I've got the video here and you don't, you can look it up later. Kevin Swanson looks like a cross between Marty McFly's dad, since we're working that reference tonight, and David Byrne from once. Yeah, this is not with the arm, and then not my beautiful house, and how did I get here? Yeah, that. And he strays away from the podium every now and then. And then he turns back to it as if inexorably pulled, like he's getting too far from Vol's power transmitter. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Damn it! You know they said there'd be. I know. Gerald said I was told there would be no math in this Roe versus Wade test. But we got a lot of repenting to do because we got lots of... Yeah, you notice how he doesn't... We don't have to repent for the million dead Iraqis that he supported killing back when Dim Leader decided to invade that country, which had not lifted a finger toward us. Nope, not there. I mean, we can check back, but I'm... Nope. It's all about the fetuses.
Defying the Almighty. Repentance of abortion. Repentance of the hundreds of millions of dead bodies. I don't know how many children have been aborted by way of abortion patients and by way of the surgical abortion since the 1960s, but I do believe that Margaret Sanger is responsible for more deaths in the world than any single person who has ever lived. And I'm talking about billions of little babies.
Billions?
Thanks to the technology she developed in the 1960s.
Jesus, can you imagine what this planet would be like if we had all those billions on it? Yeah, I know.
Friends, it's us. The problem is us. We call the nation to repentance today. Repent, America. Repent. America, repent of your rebellion against God. America, repent of stumbling the little ones. America, repent of Harry Potter.
Huh? Harry Potter's doing abortions now? Well, snickety snack and dippity bobbity boo. Hey, bobbly boo.
God damn.
And they let these people vote. Repent from Harry Potter. Tinky Winky SpongeBob. Oh, repent. And the breathlessness. He's a goddamn synapse away from breaking down in holy tears.
America, repent of your rebellion against God. America, repent of stumbling the little ones. America, repent of Harry Potter. America, repent of How to Train Your Dragon.
Wolf could definitely had it. Repent, damn it! Dragon training! They're probably training the dragons to blow their fiery brimstone breath up a woman's hoo-hoo and abort the little fetus there with dragons that are trained how to train your dragon. Oh, God.
These people have some seriously filthy minds. Wow. And quit stumbling the little children. What does that even mean? Because I didn't get the memo. As secular progressive liberals, are we supposed to be out there just kind of putting the occasional stick in the spokes of a little kid on a bicycle or something? Or just quietly, you know, sticking the foot out a little further? Boom! Yeah, I stumbled another one for Satan. Of course, there is that little thing. I know he hates Margaret Sanger, but there is that little fact that Margaret Sanger, instead of ending lives, she actually saved a lot of them. I mean, there is a history out there, and it's available. When the pill, in fact, I was driving one night and listening to, maybe it was Terry Gross on the National Petroleum Radio. And she was interviewing a guy who had done a bio or whatever of the guy who invented the pill. And along the way, he described the letters that the fellow began to receive as soon as word leaked out that such a miracle existed. Women writing, begging him, I can't wait for it to be tested. I have to have it now. I can't be pregnant anymore. The woman who had had 5 or 6 or 7 children, all with some horrifying level of malformation, and still had to do her duty by her husband. Women in anguish begging for the pill. I mean, I come from, and maybe we'll talk about this. I figured it out. I was listening to Dr. Bill today as I was producing him, and we had a little conversation at the end of the program. You by now have probably seen the story talking about how lifespans are generally growing for everybody except white males between the ages of 45 and 54, something like that, which turns out to be all of us who were born in the 1960s. And I've known, you know, and when I reached what some would call my sexual maturity, I never lived in a world where condoms were hard to come by, or where women could not use pill-based contraception, or if as a last resort, abortion wasn't available. So I don't know that horror except by extension, and I do know though that my great grandmother. The lore comes down through the family that when she found out she was pregnant with her 13th child, she tried to run up the mountain far enough away to kill herself. Already had 12 on the ground. And just couldn't stand the idea anymore. Couldn't stand the agony of it. And that somehow, that's Kevin Swanson's perfect world. Of course, Kevin Swanson is a guy. Y-
this stuff is astonishing to me. If they could just get women back where they belong, in the house, you know, Handmaid's Tale, take the vote away. No more. I think the weirdest Wahhabi in Saudi Arabia would find this guy shockingly conservative. I mean, they talk about how scared they are of the Muslims, but damn, they're envious. They're yearning for an America that treats women the way the Saudis do. Yeah, but see, we'll do it for Jesus, and that'll make it all good.
Repent of stumbling the little ones. America, repent of Harry Potter. America, repent of How to Train Your Dragon. America, repent that Dumbledore emerged as a homosexual mentor for Harry Potter. That Hiccup's mentor in How to Train Your Dragon emerged as a homosexual himself in order that history might repeat itself one more time, in order that little 6- and 7-, 8-year-olds might stumble, in order that tens of millions of parents, it would be better for them that a millstone be hanging around their neck and they'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea, in order that there would be so many people stumbling, so many children in public schools, in movie theaters, in homes, in which children are raised to be stumbled by the Dumbledores.
Well, Dumbledore stumbling. Dumble stumbling. Dumbling.
And, I mean, he's not speaking to an empty auditorium. He's pacing back and forth now. Okay, so this guy is this guy. I want to know about the people that are sitting there nodding their heads in the audience. You know, Emery and Marveline and Clyde and Arlie. I want to know about those are the people. You buy this, right? Dumbledore. You know Dumbledore's not. You know there aren't any real dragons, okay? Are we there?
Gerald noting, I'd pay real money if that guy would just shut the up. We'll get there. We'll get there.
And by the mentors of Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon. My friends, America needs to repent.
We cannot have a Mein Shaft gap. Mein Führer, I can walk.
America needs to repent of her culture. America needs to repent. Country music stations need to repent. Of playing the song Follow Your Arrow, or all the way back in the 1960s, Leroy Van Dyke's Walk On By, the first cheating song country music stations began to play. The heartland is defiled in this country. I'm talking about the heartland. I'm addressing country music because that's heartland music. These
Jesus, God, please, somebody. Thorazine, dart this guy. All the problems we have in this country. Those babies that are being stumbled. Well, 1 in 4 of them, Kevin Swanson, are going to bed hungry every night. But I haven't heard you say a godforsaken word about that.
And I guess that's what this comes down to, isn't it? These people who claim to hold the moral, who have the moral bit in their teeth, actually have no conception whatsoever of what morality or ethics are. I mean, between Reverend James Manning of the Atla World Missionary Church hollering, butt lickers! And this guy who's mad at cartoon dragons.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen, we're screwed. I mean, we're done. We're toast. Because this guy doesn't have a majority, but he's got a noisy plurality, and that is enough to screw this country up forever. It sounds like a deal, Carol. Carol says, you repent. I'll listen to music and soak my vajayjay twice. Steve says, did they say this when the Wizard of Oz came out? Oh, yeah, most likely. Most likely. We're almost done, thank God. Or not.
These are the red-blooded country boys in Kansas and Nebraska. They need to repent! These radio stations need to repent, or they will be damned!
Now he's waving his arms, and I'm just expecting, Haben Sie haben geworden sein! I mean, I just kind of gave up. We're going to work that one tonight. Them red-blooded country boys need to repent! What if you've never pented? Troubling. Philosophy. Good question. Daryl, have the evangelicals run out of people to hate, and now they have to hate on fictional characters? Is that it? No, Gerald. They can't tell the difference. These people really do live in what the term that Carl Sagan coined, a demon-haunted world. They don't live in the same existential space we do. For all they know, they go for a walk in the park, they're walking through demons all over the place. There are demons flying out of this guy's radio. They're incubi and succubi and devils. Smog. They can't, Gerald, they can't tell the difference between a cartoon character and a flesh and blood human being. That's how it is that they imagine these piles and piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of bodies from abortion and, you know, abortifacients, you know, which the pill isn't. But it doesn't stop them from lying for Jesus. But they imagine these piles, billions, he said billions of bodies. If you took every abortion, millions and millions, they probably wouldn't fill up one 55-gallon drum. Because we're not talking about people. We're talking about little wads of tissue that aren't even human. That aren't even formed. But because this guy can't tell the difference between reality and the sick paranoid fantasies of his devious mind. Well, mountains of bodies.
By the Almighty, by God Himself! You say I'm overstating the case.
No, I say you're nuts.
Friends, if God won't judge this nation, He'll need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
What can you do with that? What can you say? All I can say is thank you to the fine folks at Right Wing Watch who somehow managed to sit still long enough to clip this stuff out and put it up on the interweb tubes for us. Oh, yeah, Carol. It is just the country stations. No, rock and roll's not okay. It's just that, you know, them rock and rollers are already long gone. And God only knows them rappers is just, well, I mean, that's just the devil flying right out of their mouth with them and they're twerking. And Miley Cyrus is the queen of hell itself. Oh, and by the way, one last little note. Jeb Bush about, you know, killing baby Hitler. Well, maybe Jeb would kill baby Hitler, but his granddaddy helped grown-up Hitler kill a few million people. Yeah, Granddaddy Prescott? Yes. Trading with the Enemy Act, Brown Brothers Harriman, Fritz Tyson, all of that. Remember? Yes, yes, yes. Steve asks, what about white rappers? No, they're going to hell, too. Basically, everybody's going to hell but Kevin Swanson. And he's not too sure about it himself. Meanwhile, under the subject line, opine, if you will, Ron in Raleigh says, if you could opine on the kind of world we'd be living in if Mr. Swanson and his ilk had their way, it would make A Handmaid's Tale look like a walk in the park. By the way, several states had decriminalized abortion before Roe v. Wade, New York being one of them. Okay, well, that makes sense. And but I still maintain that he's counting the pill too in Griswold versus Connecticut. Yeah. Opine on that world? No. Well, imagine a world with electricity, and yet the vile legalities of an angry Bronze Age god. Hmm. Or a nation like Russia that persecutes some women for playing a song that they deem, that the authority deems to be offensive to the deity. That world exists. Remember, these fools think Vlad Putin is a swell guy. Mm-hmm. Note coming in back on the Christmas thing. Note coming in from Robert in Australia, subject line Christmas. 5 days a week, I do my physio walk at the local shopping mall. It's air conditioned, which is nice, and there's someone to help if I fall. Yesterday, as I walked in, it hit me straight away. They have put up their Christmas decorations, and Christmas isn't for 6 long weeks. I suppose I should be happy. Some years they put them up in mid-October. Oh, I know. There's no getting away from it, and there is a determined effort to make me despise the holiday season. Steve pointing out, and what about godless Massachusetts, which has the lowest divorce rate? Any reprieve? Sorry, no. They've only got a low divorce rate there, Steve, because their godless Supreme Court allowed the gay marriage, which means that nobody's getting married anymore, and all the good, godly, upstanding, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, traditional family values marriages, well, they're just dying off. That's what you can't have no divorces if you ain't got no marriages in the first place. And we know them homosexuals ain't going to get divorced because, well, they're just flicking boogers at God by staying married. Mm-hmm. In response to Robert in Australia, Steve says, amateur. We had Christmas stuff up here in godless New York before Halloween. But not at Starbucks! Well, I mean, except for the Advent calendar. And, you know, the Christmas coffee and the Christmas Keurig K-cups and the... Oh, never mind. So, we got about $190 to raise this evening. Thank you very kindly to Gerald for joining up. Remember, everybody who signs up for a subscription, will receive a horn bumper sticker courtesy of our buddy Scott. Either a horn bumper sticker or a They Want It All bumper sticker. Hey, you sign up for a $20 a month subscription, you get both. Okay? Yeah. So, a little break time, and then let's see. We've got somebody on line one, but the stress line is open. Area code 304-663-4676. Area code 304-663-4676. Yeah. And you're free to jump in on that one, too. We'll go to the phones right after our little break. Oh, dear God. That's a terrifying thought, Michael and Madison. Killing Baby Hitler. Michael asks, is that the new Billow book? No, but seriously, you raise a good point, Bob. If John Ellis Bush used his vast wealth and resources to create a time machine to kill Baby Hitler, how would the Bush family have made its fortunes profiting off the Reich, thus providing Jevia the resources to develop time travel? Great Scott! It's a universe-ending paradox! Although that is a worst-case scenario, for the effects may be confined merely to our own galaxy. Mm-hmm. All right. Break time. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm just giving in to it. I am. I'm not even going to try to. But remember, there's only one pool per night. And Gerald's already won that one with his solid gold Obama phone and his time travel. And that was, of course, a long-distance dedication going out to Gerald. Wait a minute. Son of a... Well, no, it couldn't last. He's lit the coal in the fireplace down the hill. Yum. Yum. One of these days I gotta do something. I don't know how to seal this I don't know how to seal this place off from his damn coal smoke. Tim from L.A. with a note. Living proof Christianity is a mental illness. Let's see. Dumbledore or How to Train Your Dragon is real and must be fought with God in their breastplate of truth, but global warming is fake. Yeah, isn't this grounds for removal of their firearms because Harry Potter and dragons are not real and global warming is? I mean, after hearing the spew, I believe that Christians are a harm not only to others but to themselves. I may be wrong legally, but it sure sounds like them wall talkers on Los Angeles' Skid Row. I know. It's like I said, and we let them vote. Yeesh. Let's run over to line one and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, how you doing, Bob?
What's happening, Jim?
You. I don't know anything about Starbucks. I saw their coffee cup today on TV. It looked very nice to me.
That looks like a red paper cup to me. At least it's not styrofoam. At least it'll biodegrade in a landfill.
Yeah, red's a beautiful color. I like it. I have one room that's painted in that Pompeian red. It's warm, glowing, shows off well. So, I mean, you know, I don't understand the big deal about it, to tell you the truth.
You wouldn't, Jim, because you're not motivated by that bizarre... all I can call it is religious insanity.
Well, it would appear to me as though there are a number of people who are just grasping at any type of straw or whatever. I don't know what... You know, I just don't understand it, as we said before. That's not the kind of Christianity in which I was reared.
But it is a very real and pernicious version that has spread like a cancer all over this country. There's no denying it.
Well, I think they're using it in many cases as some type of means to obtain other ends. I mean, they would appear to me as
religion as a means of social control? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, no, you know, number one, if you can get into a person's spiritual life, if you can get into their sex life, and if you can get into their financial life, you pretty much got complete control.
Yeah. And I mean, you heard the rantings of this not at all mentally well individual. Can you imagine somebody like him having the reins of power?
Well, the trouble is there was so much buffering tonight, I couldn't listen to you live. I had to just switch off the computer. I don't know what was going on.
Well, that's weird. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I had a I had a note from Steve in New York saying there was a lot of buffering too. Oddly enough, I'm not seeing any of it on this end.
Well, you know how these electronics are. If they crown, so do they crucify, right?
Yep, and I'm nailed right in.
Well, I'm sure you are. But all I heard was something about baby Hitler or whatever, and I thought, oh, God.
Yeah, if Jeb Bush could time travel, he would kill baby Hitler. There, he said it.
You think? I think they'd probably be good friends.
Well, granddaddy had some friends who had some friends and people who called people.
Well, you know, he sure helped Prescott Bush make a lot of money access to power and the development of the machine that nearly destroyed an entire continent or a world. I mean, yeah, they made a lot of money off the German industrialists and things of that nature. But, you know, Bob, it's like this. I look at it this way. If somebody had killed Adolf Hitler, there would have been somebody else to take his place. Stalin the same way. You know,
well, there always is.
I mean, hell, the British tried 42 times to kill Hitler. 42 times they tried to zap him out, but he was so well guarded. And then toward the end, they said, well, it was Operation Foxley. They said, oh, no, we don't want to kill him because he's gone so damn crazy. He's our best ally. And that was, you know, they were going to try to get some parachute some sharpshooters near Berchtesgaden and nail Uncle Adolf on one of his walks and stuff like that.
And, of course, over the weekend, we passed the anniversary, the 98th anniversary of the Russian Revolution.
Yeah, right. And also...
That worked out so well for so many. Not.
I don't know. It was a bad situation there. It was a horrible thing. But what happened to so many people, particularly when Stalin took power. By the way, just reminding you, this is the anniversary of Kristallnacht. When the...
Yeah, I saw your note. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, they threw all those people out of windows and broke glass and stuff like that. And, you know, that should have told people then something was going on.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the demarcation of it's on, isn't it, historically?
I would think so, absolutely. But yet there were so many people who just didn't pay attention to that, and they just all of a sudden, well, it was 1938 and then 1939, oh, what's going on in 1940? Oh, wow. This guy is really serious, and he's throwing more than just people out of windows and breaking glass. He's breaking glass not only in his own country. He's breaking glass every freaking where. There it is. I switched on the TV, and I was watching this film called The Battle for Britain, which is a good movie about the British when they were really in bad shape. And I'm sure if they had wished somebody had done somebody in, you know, but it's just amazing how that country has
Well, that, but by the same token, it's the we seem to be looking for more and more vacuous ways to ask things that don't really matter of people who want the reins of power. Over the weekend we had Mumbling Ben, the Lion King's meltdown. Y'all didn't scrutinize Barack Obama like you're scrutinizing. Well, you know, we didn't. Barack Obama didn't publish a book that claimed that didn't make speeches claiming the pyramids were built by Joseph's grain silos either, Ben.
Yeah, that's true too. I don't know where in the hell he got that idea.
It's becoming pretty clear to me that he is a gifted grifter. Even if it, I don't know what he was as a so-called healer, but he is a gifted grifter. And
one would think so. Yeah.
I mean, bizarre stuff. Did you happen to see anything? Did you see the picture? The Guardian had a story that was a walkthrough. Somebody had gone through and taken pictures in his house.
No, I didn't. There is a
portrait of Ben Carson wearing. At first, I thought it was a man. I thought he and Jesus were wearing matching bathrobes and had just gotten out of the shower. But no, he's wearing his white lab coat, and Jesus has these big sort of Emperor Palpatine hands, one of which is resting on his shoulder, and Jesus looks like a Klingon. You know, with the rumply, bumply forehead and all, yeah. But it hangs in his house, a portrait of him and Jesus.
Well, you know, General Jack Ripper, here we come. I don't know whether to think about that or springtime for Hitler in Germany. I don't know. I mean, when I see stuff like this, my mind just sort of like reels around inside of my rather minuscule cranium. I just don't know what to think or say anymore. I really don't.
I mean,
it's just nuts.
It is, and I fear for this once great nation. The conversation that I had with Dr. Bill this afternoon about why it is that my generation. Is tending to off itself at an alarmingly higher rate than anybody else, and it's not just my generation; it's my demographic. It's my generation, white males.
I wish I could answer that question, but I can't. Other than the fact that things have just become so bizarre, economically and politically, and socially, that there are a lot of people who are extremely stupid and vulnerable. And
well, you're right. Education plays into it, but I don't necessarily think that that's ignorance and not necessarily stupidity.
The dumber people are, and the more you dumb them down, and I sent an email to you about this last week. You know, you want dumb people. You don't want educated people. You don't want people who can speak other languages. What you want are the people who can listen only your abbreviated version of their native tongue. And the more, you know, ignorant they are and the more vulnerable they are, well, you've got a lot of people who just believe all this stuff, and you've got people like Ben Carson who, you know, he's sort of that generation.
No, he's older. He's older. The generation we're talking about, and he's also not white. This uptick in suicides and drug overdoses and is among white males between the ages of 45 and 54. That means white males born between 1961 and 1969, or 1970.
Well, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, there are a lot of people who are simply trying to escape by any means they can from the harsh realities of the world in which we live.
Well, what Dr. Bill and I discussed was the fact that this does not affect the African-American or Hispanic populations, and my theory, my espoused theory on that is because those populational segments already know they're screwed. They've been screwed over for as long as white people have been on this continent, and so consequently there's some sort of acquiescence in the system, or at least an understanding. But what's happened to white males of that demographic identified in the study is that the light has gone on for a lot of people, and they've realized that, hey, we're effed. We're toast. This whole thing has been a con. It's been rubed up, dummied up, ginned up, faked up, frauded up, walked down the carnival midway.
Are you referring to benefit programs and things of that nature, and the lack of caring and the lack of human decency for
that others? That and more. I mean, the fact that the contract that under sort of undergirded this country in previous generations, that, you know, if you gave good service you would have a job,
right.
and you know, I mentioned, you know, the fact that my father had a real pension, not any of this
401k
baloney infused 401k nonsense where everybody's at the tender mercies of Wall Street.
Right. I had quite a conversation last week with a guy who was a senior person at Medicare, and he just said, I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. He said, people like Paul Ryan and the people who support him do not care about Medicare. They don't care about Medicaid. They don't care about Social Security unless you are working and, in their eyes, are actively a productive member of society. Then you can just fall off the tree as the same does in autumn and fall to the ground, and they don't care. In other words, you can just die.
Exactly. And even, smart people I grew up with who, you know, didn't become liberal arts majors like me, but went and got engineering degrees and things like that. Those guys in a previous generation, and women, they'd go to work for ABC, you know, Acme Widget, and they would work for Acme Widget for 30 years, and then they'd retire. Well, the people in my generation, you might work for GE for 10 and Maytag for 2 and the Amalgamated Cog for 6 months until you get a better gig at wherever, and all of that stability is simply gone.
Well, that's right. I mean, really, they're destroying all that, and what they're trying to do, as you said earlier, is to take all that money out of pensions and things that would guarantee people some type of maintenance when they're older and poor health and or no health in many cases at all, and they want to throw it all to the hands of just a certain number of people, you know, who are very wealthy and who really don't even need it because they're so damn wealthy. And they've gotten that way, certainly not by being kind to their fellow man, that's for sure.
Well, amen.
I mean, they have been absolutely rapacious in their efforts to increase their own wealth, and they don't care who they hurt or when they have these leveraged buyouts and things of that nature, and they just destroy pension funds, and they destroy any type of hope that a person might have to continue living. I mean, it's really a sad situation. It's the saddest situation I know. And this has gotten into the medical profession as well. Doctors don't care anymore. The only thing they want to do is to take advantage of these programs as much as they can, see as many people as quickly as they can, so they can enter another charge and they can just enrich themselves. And, you know, I don't think they have any conscience, really, in many cases. And Ben Carson, well, he may have been a good neurosurgeon for pediatrics, but I don't know. I look upon doctors like that, and most of them, not as caring human beings, but as technicians.
Meat mechanics. That's what I... Meat mechanics.
Yeah, exactly. And what they want to do is to zip through this thing as quickly as possible. And if you don't make it, they can bury their mistakes, you know?
It's what Mark Twain said 100 years or more ago.
You know...
He said when undertakers and doctors pass on the street, they wink at each other.
Yeah, they do. And also this, and I got to get out of here. Bad education, poorly trained teachers, their mistakes live forever. The latter category or the former category that you just mentioned, they can bury theirs. And they don't give a shit.
It's a grim assessment, Jim.
Well, it's very true. And let me ask you one other thing. I was listening to C-SPAN, the Senate, and stuff like that. What do you think there is a possibility of there's going to be another impasse in December about the government shutdown?
I tend to think not, because if they can avert that, then Paul Ryan took the job with certain understandings. But if they can avert that, then it's not an election issue for them. And you know, we are a year out right now from the election.
Right, exactly.
And they would prefer not to have a government shutdown out there looming over Republican electoral chances.
I did hear very briefly that, you know, there's a definite contest between the ones on the right who support the Pentagon, and I'll say this, the Pentagon has enough money stashed away in private accounts probably to fund all the incentive programs, but the other programs that would take care of modern humanity. They've got enough money stashed away already. And, of course, you've got this fight between the Republicans and the Democrats over military spending as opposed to domestic spending. But I just wonder when and if they plan to give us a clean omnibus bill.
As long as the Republicans are in charge of the House and the Senate, never. Because that would be a tacit admission that government serves a purpose.
Well, don't these people have any idea of what you said is true?
No, their purpose is to destroy government. That's why I've been hollering for well over a year now, that this, that teabaggery and freedom caucuses and all of that stuff, that this is an insurgency. And for well over more than 2 years, I guess, three, four, I don't know how long I've been talking about the Cold Civil War.
God, a long time. We've all been
It's real.
Well, I just wonder how much they're going to, if they can, you know, Obama will not sign another continuing resolution. So what will the outcome be? I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to continue with increases for Medicare? I mean, Medicare in certain cases will go up from $109.50 to $159, almost a 50% increase. And let's see, no COLAs for Social Security people at all. No COLAs for any federal retirees.
Nope.
And
eventually it all collapses under its own weight. And that will be the Republican Day of Jubilee, Jim.
I wonder how far that is away.
I don't know. But it's been a scintillating conversation, and I will wish you well and a very good evening to you.
Well, likewise. Yeah, take care.
All right. See you, Jim. Bye. Our buddy Jim calling from points not too awfully far from hereabouts. I had a note earlier from Robert in Australia saying, the British TV series Doctor Who did an episode a few years back called Let's Kill Hitler. The Hitler part of the episode lasts long enough for the doctor to lock him in a cupboard. Then they went on to other things. The most recent series started with the doctor saving a young boy trapped in a minefield. The young boy grows up to be one of the most evil characters in the series' 50-year run. Yeah, food for thought. Hey, look, it's Carol Baker.
It's Carol Baker.
It is me.
It's you.
Yes, I'm going to make a deal with you.
Okay.
For the rest of this week, every night that we don't mention Hitler, I'll donate another $20.
How can I turn something like that down?
There you go. And anybody who wants to join me is welcome to do that. I somehow think that if I go a week without the mention of Mein Führer, that I won't forget who he is or what he did.
I think we're echoing for some reason.
Oh, it's probably me.
But I think that's a lovely idea. I could probably go months on this program and never forget what he did. Never forget his evil. Never forget any of it. But just, you know, talk about other things.
There you go. I think it would be more.
Now this is going to require a certain level of cooperation from people like Gerald.
I think Gerald's he'd be okay with it.
I mean, he won't be winning every night.
Well, I could always take him out back and beat the shit out of him.
took him down and whipped him out back behind the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park Country Club.
It's been done before.
Please don't take me down there. Not the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club. No.
And Mobile Home Country Club. Hey, listen, did you see what was going on at Mizzou today?
Yes, I did.
Hot damn. You know, these kids have been fighting to have an educator as the president of their college for years now. This is the second businessman that they've hired as president above an educator. And this is a former IBM guy, and he's very wealthy and very business oriented and very tone deaf, obviously. And I did notice that it was when the football players, the black football players, said, "We're not going to practice. We're not going to play." until he resigns. You know,
and was this another one of those guys who had no business being a college president in the first place?
Absolutely. Wolf was if you look into his background, he had no background in education whatsoever. He was strictly a bean counter.
But of course, they're geniuses.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, these are kids that if you live in state, your tuition's going to run you tuition fees, room, board, the whole books, the whole deal. It's going to run you around $25,000. A year. And if you're an out-of-state resident, it's more like 40. And when you're a black student, an out-of-state black student paying $40,000 a year, and you can't walk across campus without somebody screaming the N-word at you, then, yeah, it's time to do something. And he announced months ago, oh, well, everyone's going to have to go through sensitivity training. And I'm confused because I never figured out what sensitivity training ever did for a bigot anyway, other than piss him off. But I mean, I think what you do is you find the people who were responsible for it, you go after them, and you toss their ass out of school.
Seems rational.
But he wouldn't have any of that. And then at the homecoming parade, this black student organization, I can't remember what they're called, something 50, but it has to do with the year 1950, which was the first year black students were admitted at the University of Missouri. And they blocked the parade route in front of the president's car because he wouldn't talk to them. So they blocked him in order to force him to talk to them. He would not get out of the car. He would not talk to them. Police hauled them away. They were very peaceful about it. He eventually met with them and made it crystal clear to them that he wasn't really going to do anything about it. Things kind of hit their height when someone made a swastika out of human feces on a bathroom wall.
Oh, Jesus.
Inside of a predominantly black dorm. Uh-huh. And again, nothing happened. And truly, it was really, this has been going on since like the second week of school. But the president did finally resign from his post today because the Board of Regents had a meeting. And when they figured out that for every game Mizzou did not play, it was going to cost the university somewhere around $1 million.
Get them where they live.
These guys are smart. He finally, they permitted him to resign. They did not fire him. But by Saturday night, Governor Nixon and Senator McCaskill was calling for reform. Here's how the chain of events kind of unfolded since mid-September. And I read the University Student Newspaper, which is actually really quite good.
One of the finest, if not the finest, student newspaper in the country.
It really is. On September 12th, Peyton Head, the president of the Missouri Students Association, went on Facebook to talk about the university's racial climate after a group of people repeatedly screamed the N-word at him while he was walking through campus. He said, I'd had experience with racism before, like microaggressions, but this was the first time I'd experienced kind of in-your-face racism. And if you go to Mother Jones, it gives you links to his very long and very impassioned post. On October 5th, the Legion of Black Allegiance, the university's black student government, described an incident of overt racism when... according to a letter released by the group, an intoxicated white male disrupted a group rehearsal of a play on campus and referred to the members as the N-word. On that day, Chancellor Bowen Lofton condemned the incident in a video, noting that, you know, it's the typical, you know, heightened racism are alive and well at Mizzou, and this does not reflect our values. But he called for mandatory diversity training for students, faculty, and staff. But he at least was moving forward. But the president was silent. On October 10th, members, Concerned Students 1950, that's what it's called, is an activist group that alludes to the year that the first black students were admitted at the university. They took to the streets during the university homecoming parade to condemn Mizzou's history of racism. And when I say Mizzou, that's an affectionate name that we call the University of Missouri at Columbia.
Yes.
He wouldn't acknowledge him or get out of the car. Police dispersed the protesters without an arrest. He said, we've sent emails, we've sent tweets, we've messaged, but we've gotten no response back from the upper officials at Mizzou to really make a change on campus. On October 21st, Concerned Students 1950 released a list of demands calling for the president's ouster and for institutional changes at the university to promote racial inclusion, like maybe having 10% of the faculty be people of color. You know, I don't think what they were asking for was unreasonable. It was October 24th that an incident in a bathroom at one of the campus residence halls prompted further outcry. Someone reportedly drew a swastika on the wall in their own feces. The group called it an act of hate. Finally, on October 27th, Concerned Student 1950 met with the president to discuss their demands. And Wolf said at that time he was not completely aware of systematic racism, sexism, and patriarchy on campus. And the group issued a statement afterwards saying that not understanding these systems of oppression rendered him incapable of effectively performing his core duties, which I absolutely agree. On November 2nd, a graduate student by the name of Jonathan Butler announced he was going on a hunger strike until Wolf resigned for failure to adequately respond to a string of racial incidents. And that's what kind of sparked all of the demonstrations, including the last Saturday's football game against Mississippi State. Since November 2nd, students had been camping out at the heart of the university's campus in the Carnahan Quadrangle in support of his hunger strike. On November 6th, Wolf finally issued a statement expressing concern for this graduate student's health and apologized for his behavior at the homecoming parade. He said, I know my behavior seemed like I did not care. That was not my intention. I was caught off guard. Well, guess what? You suck. On November 7th, members of Mizzou's football team took a stand, and in a statement posted by the Legion of Black Collegiates on Twitter, many of the team's black athletes said they would decline to participate in practice or in games until Butler's strike was resolved. Today, in an emotional statement before the University of Missouri Board of Curators, Wolf resigned, saying he hoped that his taking responsibility would heal the campus. Well, and then you have all these people go, what did he do wrong? What did he do? He didn't do anything. That's the point. You can't just sit back and let this kind of shit happen and not do anything. So students kind of flooded onto the campus following the resignation, calling for other changes. And they got support from the university, from the coaching staff. The coaching staff stood behind all these black athletes as well, which I thought was pretty telling.
Absolutely.
You'd have thought that they would have been, come on, guys, play. John Lewis sent a message. And Michael Sam, who is a graduate.
Yes.
Yes.
Of Mizzou. And the first openly gay NFL star who can't play because he's an openly gay NFL star. Which makes him not an NFL star, but he also supported them. And within the last hour, the chancellor of the university has indicated that he's going to step down. And our Bowen Lofton is the chancellor. He's going to, what did they say he was going to do? He's going to oversee the development and the renovation of the school's research facilities. So the vice chancellor, Hank Foley, will serve as the interim chancellor until they hire a new one. Or until they make him permanent. But apparently some of the white players on the team said that they were not standing in solidarity with them. But, I mean, these kids did it. They did it peacefully. They did everything they did was, I think they were patient, considering this has been going on since mid-September. And, you know, it's just all the dominoes are falling there. But they want a seat at the table with the Board of Regents when this next president is chosen. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, I tell you what, can you maybe just mute for a second so I don't echo?
Oh, sure, sorry.
No worries. I wanted to share the opposite end of the spectrum, being as how it's more in Monday. I had seen stuff about this this unfolding problem at Mizzou, and of course the issue is serious, because we're seeing an uptick in overt racism in this country that I think a lot of people hoped we had gotten past, but we haven't. And so lo and behold, you know, I get these right-wing emails every day, and I was going through earlier and I looked and I went, this is a damn interesting subject line. Mizzou and Yale show why it's time to burn universities to the ground. I'm thinking, well, now, I'm guessing it's a little nuts.
Really?
So it turns out it's a pitch, Carol, for an article or an opinion piece over at a website called The Federalist.
Oh, that can't be good.
No. And it's written by some clown named Robert Trasinski. Now, see if you can wrap your head about head around this. This is how he describes. I wanted to share this because you've given us a really good timeline of events. Well, according to Robert Trasinski, Wolf was targeted, as one protest group put it, because he was not completely aware of systemic racism, sexism, and patriarchy on campus. I love the "not completely." It reminds me of the old rule about totalitarian revolutions. I didn't know there were any. First, you go after the counter-revolutionaries, then you go after the insufficiently enthusiastic. So Wolf had to be removed for failing to show immediate and total compliance toward their political agenda. And then there's this. The Mizzou case, along with others like it, raises a question about whether our institutions of higher learning even deserve to exist. Not because they're really systemically racist, which no one actually believes, and by no one, I think Mr. Trasinski means he doesn't actually believe, and believe is the wrong word there, but because of their inability to assert any kind of rational response to the student agitators. If administrators don't have the nerve to reassert the actual educational purpose of the institution, this makes a pretty good case that it's time to burn the universities to the ground, metaphorically speaking, of course, and start over from scratch. At this point in time, I imagine the marvelously coherent Diane from Kansasstan is kicking furniture.
I am.
But I mean, this is so typical of the right wing response to these things. No. It's not a matter of people being subjected to overt racism. This is somehow the persecution of a put upon poor white minority.
Bob, these kids waited 6 weeks for a response from the university. 6 long weeks. And, I mean, these are kids who, if they're from the in-state, they're going to walk away from college with $100,000 worth of debt.
Yes.
Yes.
And they have to be subjected to this?
Yeah, they're paying money to have this done to them.
Yeah. And they didn't burn down the administration building. They didn't throw rocks. This wasn't Kent State. This was a bunch of kids who played by the rules and took it in a took things to their logical progression. And it was only when the university got hit where it really mattered, and that was the athletic program, specifically football, which is the big money. That's when they got a response.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Well, this clown, this Trusinski guy, he pairs this with something going on at Yale. Now, up at Yale, as Halloween approached, a dean there sent out an email asking people to not wear culturally insensitive Halloween costumes. Because, you know, it's not good for old Bula Bula's image when you've got yet another member of the extended Bush family wearing his Nazi costume.
Or showing up in blackface.
Yeah, right. You get the idea. So, in turn, as a result of the email that went out, a professor, Erica Christakis, sent out an email response saying, "Is there no room anymore for a child or young person to be a little bit obnoxious, a little bit inappropriate or provocative or, yes, offensive? American universities were once a safe space not only for maturation, but also for a certain regressive or even transgressive experience. Increasingly, it seems, they have become places of censure and prohibition."
How can somebody explain to me why being the most tiny, insignificant nod to someone else's feelings is somehow politically correct, and that's a bad thing?
Well, that's and that's all any of this is. It's the merger of the right-wing persecution complex alongside the fact that they are frankly angry that they can't say all those fun words that they used to say all the time. And somehow their rights are the ones that are being trampled.
Fun for whom?
Yeah. So at Yale, they're looking for the resignation of Nicholas Christakis because he's actually the master of, and I didn't know there was one of these at Yale, Silly Man College. S-I-L-L-I-M-A-N. I didn't know. And they want his resignation. Because it seems pretty clear that he and his wife are, you know, not particularly in tune with the idea that even if it's Halloween, you probably shouldn't be subjected to racial epithets, cultural stereotypes, what have you.
Or fraternities hanging out signs on the first day of school saying, "Come on, bring your daughter. Drop your daughter off here. We'll take care of her."
Or, well, did you see the one for this weekend at the University of Alabama?
No.
Sandra put me onto this one. It was at an apartment complex, and of course, you know, mommy and daddy's little boys, just having fun, made a sign on a white bed sheet, in honor of the upcoming match between the University of Alabama and Louisiana State University, which was the battle for the SEC West, and they said, "Roll Tide, finish what Katrina started."
Charming.
And now, to their credit, the university immediately issued a tweet saying, "We are appalled by that, and it certainly did not take place on university property."
Yeah, so what was their punishment?
Yeah, well, there's not going to be any of that. I mean, they were appalled, not moved to action.
Oh, well, sort of like at Mizzou.
Yeah, only
being with appalled is cheap.
So, no, there'll be no accountability, and look, it all begins in the home, right? I mean, whoever that nasty boy was that made that sign, He's probably got some nasty parents.
The problem is, there's never ramifications for this behavior.
No.
That is what pisses people off.
But hopefully with the resignation of the university president in Missouri, I mean, doesn't that qualify?
Yeah, but look at how long they had to wait and what they had to do to get it.
By the way, Jack, in Shreveport, you mentioned sensitivity training. And Jack said, giving seminars and short courses is a great way to sponge off the system where the costs are basically for the seminar speaker only. The rest of the costs are the overhead for marketing and lobbying.
Exactly. I've never seen sensitivity training change a single mind.
No, it can. If a mind is open, it can enhance one's understanding. But you can't send the noble lumpkin of your local clan chapter to sensitivity training and have him come out. And go march with Black Lives Matter. Now this is interesting. Jack also said the issue in Missouri is exactly what the Powell memo feared, and I know you know what the Powell memo was, except for the draft. That's why we can't have all this going on. We've got the Ivy Tower liberals, white hippie druggy protesters, those people, national media coverage, all encouraged by what university campuses offer. So true, the establishment would love to actually burn them down. All negative university and intellectual steps have been occurring because they can't. And this is part and parcel, Carol, with my theory that public education went downhill when the Supreme Court said white folks had to educate people of color, too.
But here they simply defund all the public schools, give all the money to the for-profit charter schools, and then they bitch, piss, moan, and complain because the wrong coloreds aren't motivated. But yeah, when they got to go 10 miles to school.
Yeah. It's a solvable solution, but I don't know, Carol, if we want to solve it.
Just us liberals who don't want to live with stupid people.
But as Jim notes, those stupids do come in handy. I mean, if you want to have a war, you got a bunch of people who won't question why anything happens. Absolutely, absolutely. Bring on the stupids.
Well, there's plenty of right-wing pout rage over what's going on in Colombia, you know. And this is what happens when them liberals, you know, get a hold of our cheerings and teach them how to raise hell and protest, and they took away our football and sent this poor man out into the wilderness, and he didn't even do nothing. Which is the point.
Yeah, I was going to say, you beat me to it. But it's been a day of pout rage, hasn't it? The godforsaken coffee cup thing. Just I thought I was reading something from The Onion.
Oh, come on, Bob. Nothing screams Jesus like a venti soy chai latte.
Half-calf with extra foam.
With extra foam. You know, they're not outraged about all those paper cups in a landfill, are they?
No. No. And, you know, I'm such a hardcore, I reuse them.
So do I.
It cuts down on dishwashing. But really?
Some of that's because I'm lazy.
I mean, no, it blows my mind that there have been millions and millions of views now of this idiotic right-wing evangelical railing against Starbucks. Now, I mean, as a progressive person, you'll not get a lot of defenses of Starbucks out of me because it's a big old predatory corporation that, you know, manages to probably put a lot of otherwise good coffee businesses out of business. It's the Walmart of coffee.
Yes, but Josh Feuerstein is a media whore, and that 11 million views that he got since yesterday is going to allow him to live very well to post even more of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me sick.
And it's being taken seriously. That's what makes me even sicker.
I can't take it seriously. Isn't that how all Christian persecution begins throughout history, with a paper cup?
I don't know, but I mean, Agnes and I were talking about it, and she said, "Oh yeah, there's a move on now where everybody, all the Christians, have to take a Sharpie so they can write Merry Christmas on the coffee cup."
They should be glad I'm not their barista, because I'd be going, "Murray Xmas, Murray Xmas, your soy venti sissy half calf latte is ready," and I'd spit in it. Seriously, why would anybody fuck with somebody who makes your food or drink?
Well, but they will, because Jesus. And after all, to be fair here, let's remember, I mean, some of us who would like to find some good in Christianity can go and we can find those places, you know, the blessed are the peacemakers for the yada, 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 yada. But the fact of the matter is, he got a little pouty sometimes too. I mean, one of the miracles is that he got mad at a tree, Carol. I mean, who? Okay. So maybe a tree blows over onto your house and, you know, knocks the back off your veranda. Okay, so maybe you're mad at the tree, but the tree's already knocked over. The tree's dead. So what? But no, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, got mad at a fig tree because it wasn't even the season for figs, and he walked up and there weren't any figs on it yet, and he cursed the tree. And that's kind of the equivalent of what's going on here with the coffee cups.
True. But, you know, most of my friends are Christians, and they're the kind of Christians that I get along with very well, because for the most part they follow the good parts. You know, they're the Jimmy Carter kind, they're the Frank Schaefer kind.
Yeah.
I can deal with that.
Well, I mean, I saw there's a great meme out there rolling around. It says, shows a picture of Jimmy Carter with a saw in his hand. It says, "This is Jimmy Carter, who has cancer at 90, continuing to build houses for the homeless with Habitat for Humanity." And then it's joined with a photo of T-Rump, and it said, "And this is T-Rump complaining that a three-hour debate is too exhausting."
Because T-Rump's a pussy.
And I wonder if Larry David's going to get the $5,000.
Probably. I didn't watch that. I couldn't make myself watch
it. Oh, I wouldn't.
Well, and there were so many skits that they wanted him to do. No, I won't do that. Fucker, if you're going to go on SNL, you play the game. You be a little self-deprecating.
Yeah, but he just wouldn't wear the Liquorville bottle.
That would have been good. I'd have watched that, maybe.
But no. But at least somebody called Donald Trump a racist on live television.
Well, that part was good, but it was so clearly plotted out from what I read online. I wouldn't even watch the clip. Because the Donald was okay with it.
Yeah, which meant that he was right, exactly. Well, Carol, I really thank you for the conversation. It's been scintillating as usual.
Well, you're welcome, and I only said fuck a couple of times. I'm getting better.
You are. And we're going to go forward. The no Hitler challenge is on the table.
$20 a night for every night they don't say Hitler for a week.
Exactly. And so ixnay on the Hitler hay.
Sorry, Gerald. You're going to have to get your Starbucks money somewhere else.
Carol, have a good night.
You too, amigo.
Bye now. The one and only Carol Baker. It is 4 minutes past the hour, going over to the stress line in a second. And just a real quick, We got $190 to raise this evening. 19 at 10, 10 at 19, et cetera, et cetera. Contribute tab, headonradionetwork.com. If you don't have the mailing address, shoot me an email, and I'll type it up for you. But I want to get back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hey, Bob. Great to talk to you. It's Blake in Madison.
Hey, Blake. What's happening, man?
Hey, people out there who have money, please contribute to Bob Kincaid. I've got literally less than $5 in the bank, but if you don't, come on. Come on. So, how are you doing tonight?
I'm having fun, I think, apart from the whole breathing coal smoke thing, but...
Yeah.
Gerald suggested spray foam, but I really can't do that with... It comes through the damn doorway, well, it's a problem.
It's hardly avoidable, I would imagine. I'm lucky enough to be out in the country at this very moment and then poisoning myself with a cigarette. So I called in for your program so I could listen to you talk while I'm not right next to my computer. Yeah?
Oh, okay. Well, that works. That works too, and it works well. So are you're not freezing yet, are you?
We had a good little warm snap there, enough time to chop a lot of wood. I'm not gonna complain. It's getting chilly, but what are you gonna do? It's Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, when will the snow fly?
Yeah, I mean, you've been up in the Pinocchio Hills.
Nowhere
even near that north.
And so you don't have, as much of the fun, you don't have all the fun coming off of Lake Superior, but.
Yeah, right. I've been trying to avoid the news as much as possible, as much as I miss your show. So what happened? Is it that now Jeb Bush has come out endorsing abortion to kill all the little Hitlers, or?
Yeah, apparently. And we've only got one.
He's now pro-choice.
And we've only got tonight to say
because of Hitler.
We've only got tonight to say that name, because there's $20 on the line every night for the rest of the week.
Oh, well, I got to call up Jeb and tell him to get his super PAC on top of your fundraising program.
Well, that would be nice.
If only I knew the guy, then I would kill myself like a baby Hitler, I guess. I don't know what to do with any of these people. Yeah, what the hell? We're all just watching like a horror movie, just standing back and saying, oh, my God.
Well, at least you haven't taunted me with by saying that alongside your cigarette you're having a big ice-cold glass of Spotted Cow.
Oh, you got acquainted with New Glarus.
Right? Oh, no, I'm a fan, and of course, you can't get that.
Oh, yeah. The Spotted Cow is by far the best light beer you can get anywhere in the country.
It's absolutely...
I'm more of an IPA guy myself, but...
You hophead,
you... If you want a refreshing beer, Spotted Cow and New Glarus, that's where it's at.
Well, I keep saying that I need to... I want to remake Smokey... I want to remake Smokey and the Bandit.
No, go ahead.
I want to remake Smokey and the Bandit, only make it about, going from taking a truckload of Spotted Cow illegally from Wisconsin to West Virginia.
Yeah, and we're the birthplace of the best chain burger restaurant of all time.
Culver's.
Yep.
You know what? It blew my mind. When
that's your bag.
I was traveling.
I was raised a vegetarian, but I got switched.
Well, the ice cream. My God, the ice cream at Culver's. They make that stuff every day, and it's really special. Now, I was surprised, Blake.
No joke.
When I was traveling, south last month or end of September, there is a Culver's down around the Galleria on 65 south of Nashville now. South of Nashville, like 100 miles from the Alabama state line.
It wasn't more than a year ago that they had a whole write-up in our local paper called the Isthmus. You've been to Madison, the Isthmus is the Isthmus. That's our downtown. And it was all about how they start people at Culver's. Their wages are like, you're just busboy. You start at $11 now.
Nice.
Not too shabby. You know, they actually have pretty good labor practices over there too, and they're successful in expanding. You know,
we've been led
to believe that there's a false choice between, you know, proper humanitarian labor practices and making money.
You can have both. It's just a matter of convincing our betters of that. I have now been corrected, Blake. Jenny in Wisconsin has written and said, Bob, it's custard, it's not ice cream. The high percentage of butterfat and egg yolk gives frozen custard a thick, creamy texture.
That's even better, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and a smoother consistency than ice cream. Frozen custard can be served at -8 below Celsius, warmer than the -12 below Celsius at which ice cream is served in order to make a soft serve product.
Thank you, Jenny.
Yeah, live and learn.
I love you, Jenny.
Jenny! 867-5309, right?
You gotta lean on the Horn family to make sure that, the record's set straight.
The entire Horn family commune congregation is just a bunch of fact checkers. I mean, I can't get away with anything here.
Yeah, best think tank in America, I would say.
I'd say. And there it is in the chat room, too. iPie, Culver's does not have ice cream, Bob. It is fresh frozen custard.
you can count on the Horn family to make sure.
Oh, I had some. I had
we
some,
know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, one year we were going, and I had their batch of the day was peach. And it was heavenly. And Jenny says, "Aw, thanks, fellow Wisconsin guy."
Absolutely. That is wonderful.
And now Carol's,
well, Bobby,
now Carol's getting in on it. Yeah.
I'm going to let you go and turn my computer back on so I can listen to the rest of the show.
Cigarette's finished, is it?
It's great talking to you, brother.
Yeah, we're done with the cigarette, are we?
Just about.
All right, sounds good, Blake. Good hearing from you. You take care.
Oh, absolutely. It's dark now in Madison around 5-6 o'clock, so maybe I'll be checking in from time to time.
Okay, sounds good. Anytime.
I gotta soak up the sun while during the summer months.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, I love the fact that it was, the sun was still up at like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the summer. There, it was wonderful. Just twilight.
As you well know.
All right, well, have a good one, Blake.
All right, I'll come down to West Virginia and fix your roof sometime.
Roof's good, but we can certainly build a studio.
I'm in the neighborhood. Yeah. We'll pick up a bunch of shingles and get that shit done.
All right, take care, Blake.
All right, take care.
See you, bye. Blake calling from somewhere near Madtown up in Wisconsin. And both lines are open now if you'd like to get in on the conversation. You know who does a good Forrest Gump? Ferg does a great Forrest Gump. And that's, he's got quite a range, Ferg does. Because he can do Forrest Gump, Morgan Freeman, and Gollum. I mean, how's that for a range? Hey, look, it's the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man.
What do you know?
What's going on? Sorry about last Friday.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right.
Apologize for that, and you and everybody else. I don't know where you want to begin.
You drive this bus.
No, it's your show. Tell me. I mean, there's so many fucking ways on Moran Monday to go in the United States of America doing a presidential election fucking cycle that began 4 years ago.
You know, that right there is the absolute truth. It's just never ending now, isn't it?
No.
I mean, there's no getting away from it. There's no hiding from it. It's constantly on your TV. Bill Doberman will bring America back to its senses. Yeah. Oh, please.
Well, fuck, Kanye West is talking crap about, I'm running for, the one after this one. The same cat that said that he doesn't read a book but then put out a book. They had a sentence or two on each page. I mean, this is what the fuck is going on. And Ben Carson is number one. So that's something else that's fucked up. You know, how are we supposed to explain this?
Well, it's got, I mean, the Ben Carson stuff has proliferated like mushrooms after a spring rain to the point that I can't tell what's real and what's not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a satire piece out from Duffel Blog, which is like a military kind of satire sort of thing, and Military Onion, that said Ben Carson claims he turned down scholarship from SEAL Team 6.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't. You know what, Angry? I don't think anybody's ever heard you laugh that hard on this program, but it did the same thing to me.
No, because there's just so many wannabe warriors out there, and they can sign up. You know, I mean, they try to take people who are, you know, dealing with autism. You know, folks who can't even really sign their fucking name. That's how desperate some of these recruiters have been since the Bush administration started all of this. The Bush-Cheney administration, we should say, because Bush was probably really not in charge of any fucking thing those first few goddamn years. Well, I mean, if you listen to Dick Cheney himself, he was running the country. So, you know. But, you know, ever since that you know, nonsense got started and then stopgap and what have you, and, you know, you got the TV show 24, so you got the Jack Bauer wannabe syndrome. Everybody wants to be a fucking Navy SEAL. I mean, I've seen a few fellows. I heard about them first, but I've seen a few fellows who actually have SEAL team tattoos who have never been in the Navy.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Period. You know, it's like people who have Harley Davidson tattoos and they've never even been on a motorcycle. It makes absolutely no sense. But when you look at it, this is the result of years and years going back to World War II and really ramping up during the Korean conflict, or the, you know, the U.S. invasion of Korea, let's say, right, when they actually went to war with China. You know, nobody looks at it that way or wants to look at it that way. You know, the idea of war psychology, this is the end result. I mean, you can't even get a film made or a television program that doesn't include military aspects, intelligence aspects, police aspects. You know, I mean, most filmmakers have said that if you're doing a Hollywood film, it pretty much has to be vetted by the military. So, you know, we're dealing with a cycle that began a long time ago, but because capitalism is a monster that eats itself, this is continuing. And, you know, Ben Carson has jumped on that and says, yeah, you know, like Trump. Didn't Trump say, well, I've never been in the military, but I went to ROTC. Same thing.
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
No. You know.
And it was high school. Let's remember, it was high school ROTC. It was JROTC.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even the real college thing.
Yeah, but see, but they're not even lying to the to girls to try to, you know, to get laid, which is stupid, but you can kind of understand that. They're running for president. And Ben Carson says, yeah, I was offered by Westmoreland of all fucking people. Anybody who ever met Westmoreland after Vietnam tried to pretend that they didn't know him at all. And here's this Uncle Tom. Oh, I went to dinner with him. And he offered me a scholarship to West Point when there is no such goddamn thing. There is no such goddamn thing.
No, you can't.
No, you know, he never even fucking applied. You know, as well as I do, you apply to any military college here, any war college, anything connected to the fucking federal government. They keep a record of that, you know, of that application. So he's a fucking liar. And then he knows absolutely nothing about goddamn history. This motherfucker, right? What is it, Joseph? Huh? Built the pyramids and shit for grain silos?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, come on, man. And then what? He lied about being
unlike Jim, you did see the portrait of him and Jesus, right?
Mm-mm.
No? Mm-mm. You'll have to go look on my Twitter feed. It's there. There were a couple of different things, and they were just beautiful. The one is the portrait of him and Jesus looks like a Klingon. patah. But the other part, the other delight was the Bible verse that he has displayed, and his entire house is apparently a memorial to himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
So there's this Bible verse, and it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Okay, all right, and it's up above some sort of he's got a permanent nativity scene, and there's a couple of golden angels, but here's the fun part. The citation to the Bible verse, one, it's standard understanding. I mean, this isn't the E.E. Cummings Bible, so the we capitalize the names of the books of the Bible. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Flip-Floppians, that kind of thing. Well, the verse comes from Proverbs 22:4, apparently, but and I know this is going to seem sort of petty, but it's not capitalized. It's a lowercase p. But here's the best part, Angry. It doesn't say Proverbs. It says Poverbs. It's misspelled and uncapitalized. I wish I was joking. You know, rich verbs, Poverbs. You know, this is Poverbs. And he's just, you know, sucking all the and you know what? Bernie's right. He says, you know, let's not talk about what a Lulu crackpot he's been for 30 years. Let's talk about what he wants to do to the people of the United States, not for, but to. Because getting lost in all of this, Angry, is the fact that he's another one of these mean-spirited bastards who thinks that Granny's eating too much food. But of course, that's a staple of mainline Republican thought now.
Yeah, but does he really believe that, or is he just saying this? I don't think he believes half the shit he's saying. He's just desperate, like the rest of these goddamn Republican fucks. They want to be big. They want to be number one. They don't care how they get there.
I don't think he necessarily even wants to be president.
Well, he must not, since he took time off to go on a fucking book tour. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, if the book tour is what your campaign is about in the first place, sure.
Sure.
I mean, and your point? Oh, and by the way, the latest, I mean, some of this stuff is infuriating. He showed up on some program, Face the Nation, yesterday. And John Dickerson said, well, you know, 25% of New Hampshire voters say drug abuse is the most serious problem in New Hampshire. And by way of answering that, Mumblin' Ben, the Lion King.
They would know it is.
Yeah, Mumblin' Ben, the Lion King. I think we can just call him Mufasa, can't we? You know, Lion King, get it? See what I did there? Mm. He said, well, there are all kinds of addictions, and addictions occur in people who are vulnerable and who are lacking something in their lives, so we really have to start asking ourselves, what have we taken outside of our lives in America? What are some of those values and principles that have allowed us to ascend the ladder of success so rapidly to the pinnacle of the world and the highest pinnacle anyone else had ever reached? And why are we throwing away all of our values and principles for the sake of political correctness? So Ben Carson says that drug addiction, it comes from political correctness, which is another way of saying drug addiction comes from the fact that white people can't say, you know, that word. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's why he's number one. You know, he's willing to throw other niggas under the bus. So, you know, that's why he's number one right now. You know, Trump with his, my intern who didn't know anything because he was too young to know anything, like Dana Perino, who didn't know anything about Pearl Harbor. He didn't know anything about World War II. So when he used those Nazi soldiers in my Twitter thing, hey, man, you know, forget about it because it wasn't my fault. Oh, and the fact that I'm being supported by neo-Nazis like David Duke and Andrew Anglin and Don Black and what have you. Oh, well, hey, you know, and Stormfront is pushing me. Hey, you know, not my fault. Oh, the fact that I said that Mexicans and blah, 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 and I said that blacks and blah, 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 and the Asian people are this, that, and the other, and gay people are this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, well, don't worry about it. And as far as they, you know, these people are concerned, the rank and file of the GOP, Ben Carson with his pyramids and his Jesus and what have you, and his number one, you know, attraction. I'm willing to say what these others will not say. And I can't say because I'm black. You know, Obama's dangerous. You got to get rid of him. You got to get him out and come up with all this craziness. I mean, why are we really surprised about this? You know, the fact that Ted Cruz can talk shit about immigration when he was born in Canada and he's getting away with it. Marco Rubio said he escaped Castro when he didn't. He's getting away with it. Chris Christie has used political, you know, violence against people in his own party, in his own goddamn state for not supporting him on scams. He's a political bully. But, you know, this is, you know, all, they're all taken seriously. The entire goddamn GOP from Jeb Bush on down, Piyush Jindal, all of them, blame Black Lives Matter for, you know, creating a climate of hatred against cops. And the particular cop that they used all of this from turned out to be one of the biggest goddamn crooks in his state. Why are we surprised that all of this is happening? We shouldn't be surprised by any of this. You know, what I'm surprised about is the fact that these students were able to use nonviolent protest and hunger striking. You know, the football team, I praise them and I support and I praise their coaches and the other administrators for supporting these young people. And they got rid of this goddamn president of this school. That's the only bright light that I've seen. That was able to happen. But the rest of it, we're in a bad position when Ben Carson can say what he's saying and he's still considered to be legitimate. That Trump has gone on as far as he has and he's still considered to be legitimate. That the entire everybody up there in the GOP is a fucking liar. And they've been caught lying.
Well, I mean, but the problem here, Angry, is that there is no cost associated with any of this anymore. I mean, you've got Jindal, Huckabee, and Cruz that went to, I mean, you heard the clip from this Kevin Swanson guy earlier. Repent from stumbling the children, Dumbledore. They went to his religious liberties conference, and this is a guy who has openly advocated for the murder of gay people. And they pay no price for it. They're not shunned. They're not considered out of the mainstream. I mean, these people, they really are. They're considered to be mainstream Republicans now. When a generation ago, they were, you know, they were the people who were looking both ways before they put their crazy little mimeographed screeds on the bulletin board at the post office or the grocery store.
Get us out of the UN.
Right?
If the UN meant anything, they would have been in a long time ago to defend Native Americans, to defend black people, to defend women, to defend indigenous women who are missing on the Canadian-U.S. border, to defend indigenous women who speak Spanish that are on the Mexican-U.S. border. I mean, if they were really worried about the UN, you can't be worried about the UN. The UN is toothless. They can't do a goddamn thing.
Oh, but it drives the wingnuts crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, they can't differentiate between fantasy and reality.
Is Texas still part of the Union? Did they invade Texas yet? What was it, Jade Helm 15?
Right, and the blue-helmeted UN troops were going to come across the dry parts of the Rio Grande.
Yeah, and Ben Carson, what I'm saying, you know, I don't think any of these GOP fuckers believe in any of this. You know, they don't believe in what the fuck they're saying. They'll say whatever the fuck they have to say. They're like a drug addict that gives head in a fucking alley behind a bar some fucking where because they really need that fucking fix. They're no different. They'll say whatever the fuck they have to say. And we've talked about this before. They all live in these illusions of fucking grandeur. You always see them. Ted Cruz always has both of his hands up like he's trying to reach for God, right? Ben Carson, almost every photograph you see of him, it's like, I'm saying something so motherfucking profound. Look at me. All of them. They're all on a messianic fucking, you know, trip, and that's become the meme over there. Jeb Bush, on the other hand, hasn't done that. He's just like, you know, you really should trust me because my father ran the CIA for a little while, and my brother was president for a little while, and I helped him cheat and shit. And, you know, you really need to give me a fucking break on this because we would like to have a little bit of a dynasty here because that's always been the family goddamn dream. We're trying to be the, you know, the right-wing version of the Kennedys.
The the anti-Kennedys.
The anti-Kennedys. And it's my motherfucking turn now. You know, Ted Kennedy's gone. It's my motherfucking turn. That's what he's saying. It's my turn. You know, my wife is brown. Give me a fucking break here. I speak Spanish. Give me a chance. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, I can screw you in two languages.
Well, regardless. I mean, Marco Rubio can speak fucking Spanish, but will refuse to unless he'll get him a fucking vote.
That goes back to the 2012 election. Remember when the French reporter spoke French to Willard Romney, but he acted like, what? Huh? I don't speak your frog talk.
No, I'm Anglo-Saxon, right?
Yeah, but yet he is fluent en français.
Fuck, man. Well, you know, you can't speak French and run for office because that hurt Curry, didn't it?
Oh. Speaking any second language except Pig Latin is doom with the American people.
You're international, goddammit. You know, it's like, no, you can't be a citizen of the world anymore. Not with this. And like I said, I was, you know, just thinking while I was having some tea yesterday to myself, and I'm like, you know, what the fuck? I remember sitting in goddamn school in the 70s and them telling us the difference between us and Red Russia and Red China and Red Vietnam is that we don't follow you around and you can speak freely and nobody's writing down what you say and there's not men with black leather coats standing outside of our classroom. You're free here. And now I'm thinking, fuck, man, you know, everybody's got a fucking cell phone that they're just demanding to tap into. They're doing it any motherfucking way. But now they want to make it legal so that way, you know, nobody can argue against it. And you know, we're just going to have this set in. And we have a culture here of young people, an entire fucking generation that doesn't even understand privacy. They don't think they deserve privacy. The concept of privacy doesn't make any sense to them. They put all of their business out on social media. And, you know, and now somebody's coming up with this thing called it's like Yelp for people. Where, you know, if you don't like somebody, you can go online and say, but this person's, you know, they have body odor or whatever, and I don't care for them. And, you know, they're fucking liberal, and I think they're dangerous. And you can badjacket somebody now. But it turns out that one of the women who is behind this, there's two women behind this, she's already getting negative reactions because people are like, what about the privacy thing? And her reaction to dealing with this is totally negative, you know, which she's pushing this exact model. And now that she's getting a taste of it, you know, she took all of her personal shit offline. So, you know, Orwell was correct in this. You know, I mean, Orwell was correct. What was it? The artist from the factory. The pop artist. Help me here.
Andy Warhol?
Andy Warhol. You know, 10, 15 minutes, everybody's going to get their fucking, you know, piece of fame. He was totally right. These people saw the motherfucking future, you know. And the egotism in the U.S. is fucking ridiculous. And this is, again, why we're in this position. Because nobody here wants to say, we fucked up. Well, you know, just like these white supremacist sons of bitches. Well, the Jews are doing this and they control the government. You know, the Zionist occupational government is out. And then the niggas come in behind them as their shock troops and do this and that. And now they got the Mexicans doing blah, 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 blah. And it's like, wait a minute, motherfucker. First you say that we're all useless. That the Jews can't do any goddamn thing and are totally stupid and they're a gnome little race. But you can, you know, and even though they own no fucking major banks anywhere in the fucking world, you know, they control every fucking thing, right? You know, blacks are shiftless, lazy. We have big penises, but we can't do any goddamn thing else. We're totally stupid gorillas. But somehow we control every motherfucking thing. And, you know, the white man can't do anything. You know, the Mexican is this. The Indian is this. The Asian is this. So, you know, I say,
and nobody ever says, and the white folks are, you know, except, you know, we do here, but that sort of transitions angry to another discussion. And it's something I brought up a little earlier, and Dr. Bill was talking about it earlier today, too. And that is the issue, this issue of, the study that shows my generation is my generation of white males are offing ourselves and ODing ourselves at a shocking level. And I think it really does go to the fact that that white America is in a fit of despair, and especially ignorance and poor education and poverty play into this as well. And you know, for a long time, you know, the game was rigged for white people. But now, I think you know any notions of equality scare white America to damn death.
Well, because they've never had to really deal with it. But this is what I'm getting to. Now, if we are so inferior, all of these non-Western Europeans, if we're so fucking inferior, then how did it get this way? You know, and I stump every goddamn white supremacist I've ever had a face-to-face with on this. If you were are in control, if you're the superior one, and we've never done anything in history. We didn't do the pyramids. We didn't do any goddamn thing. So then how did it fucking get like this if you've been in control all the fucking time? And then it's like, well, we haven't really been in control and you know, we haven't really had control since this. And it's like, you're coming up with fucking excuses. You're coming up with fucking excuses. I've said this to you before. If the United States is off the fucking rails, how did it get off the fucking rails? If the jobs are going out of the United States, how the fuck are you going to blame Jews for this? How the fuck are you going to blame Mexicans and black people
for this? Yeah, because see, Mumia didn't send the jobs overseas.
Nope. It was the Ted Cruz's and the goddamn Bushes. You know, it was the fucking Republicans and a hell of a lot of Democrats, too. You know, I mean, we can talk about Clinton's connections to this all night long. And Democrats will be like, oh, shut the fuck up. We don't want to hear you. And it's like, no, you don't want to deal with the fucking truth. NAFTA and GATT was passed by Clinton. Democrat.
Just like the knuckling of the poor with the, with welfare reform. In a sublime and tragic irony, the woman who was the poster child for Bill Clinton's welfare reform, you know, she died. And she never got a break. And she got it was pathetic. And you know the prison industrial complex and the school to prison pipeline, it all goes back to that day that Bill Clinton pointed his knuckle at us and said, hey, the day of big government is over. And I guess so. But the problem is the things that so-called big government was doing, it turns out, Angry, they were kind of important. People being able to eat food is kind of important. I mean, I can't get it out of my head. I've mentioned it, I think, twice tonight on the program so far, and probably should just scream it from the rooftops. In the United States of America, one child out of every four goes to bed hungry every night. Now, you cannot call yourself a member of the developed world if you are willing to tolerate something like that. And, I mean, is that American exceptionalism? And see, you can't just say, well, you know, that's because Obama. Well, Obama didn't cut the deal that cut money out of the SNAP budget. That was a Republican Congress with the connivance of some Democrats. You know, the farm subsidies haven't gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have the poors eat, that's intolerable. That's not exceptional.
Well, when you're disassociated from real life, you can think like that. Because, you know, if you don't see poverty, if you don't see, you know, soup lines, if you don't see a bunch of men standing out in the cold waiting for jobs ready or manpower or whatever the fuck, where they underpay you to work, you know, 8-10 fucking hours on some pretty dangerous and dirty work without the proper equipment, you know, so that they can feed themselves or take care of their families, they don't see that. They don't see people trying to stretch, you know, $50 a week in groceries for a family of six. You know, they don't see that. So because they don't see it, it's not happening. You know, I mean, the majority of people who make these laws and talk all this bullshit, they haven't actually shopped for themselves or cooked for them for their fucking selves, probably since they were in their early 20s and in school. You know, mama did every goddamn thing for them. Somebody always took care of shit for him. Because I've known people like this, and you have too. You know, everything was taken care of for them. And then, you know, they get a decent fucking job. And if they get a good goddamn job, it starts even faster. All of a sudden, all these people don't really want to work hard. They don't appreciate anything when they get it. And crap like that. And what's really bad is when a cat grew up like me, and then he gets some money, and then all of a sudden, fuck all the poor people. I've seen that. You know, I've lost a lot of friends that way. And it's like, hey, man, you know, we need to at least take some of these applications and let the brothers know that these jobs are available. Oh, man, did they, you know, why do you want to do that? You know, because his point was, well, you and I are both Toms, like Ben Carson and shit, right? Like his campaign manager, Armstrong Williams, who sold out his motherfucking.
Ooh, what a grifter. For a quarter of a million dollars. I mean, he's pro.
Look, he's lawn jockey number one. He's human lawn jockey number one behind Michael Steele. But actually, he's on a running motherfucking race for that status with Alan Keyes, who I still remember being dragged up by the police in Atlanta at the Republican motherfucking convention. He was a registered goddamn candidate in that state, and they physically removed him from the fucking studio, threw him on camera into a fucking squad car, and dropped him off in the worst goddamn part of Black Atlanta. Okay. So, yeah, you know, Armstrong Williams and Ben Carson, if that's what the fuck white America wants, it's because they know that those two boss niggas will hand the rest of us over on a platter. And that they will do whatever the hell they're told by whoever the hell is pulling their fucking strings. Now, the majority of white folks who are going for this, they just want a counterbalance to Obama. They don't really know what the fuck is going on and don't care. But the GOP and themselves, this is not what they planned, but they'll run with it if they think it'll get them in. If they think it'll get them in, they'll do this. But Ben Carson is just one of many. I mean, Mia Love is still out there. She's doing nothing, but she's still out there. Condoleezza
Rice, she's doing something. She's drawing her breath and her pay. That's something.
I mean, the Klan threatened her. Nothing happened. GOP didn't do a fucking thing. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, you know, that's... You know, this is bullshit. And by the way, I don't watch television. Did Trump actually do Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So any of you who are on the production team for Saturday Night Live who might be listening to this show, fuck y'all, man. I can't goddamn believe that television show with the fucking, you know, the way it began, that you sunk this motherfucking low to put that racist goddamn bastard on your show. Fuck y'all, man. That's why I don't watch goddamn TV any fucking more. Fuck SNL.
Without a doubt.
No credibility, man.
It's ratings, okay? I mean, I'm sure they had a ratings bonanza out of it. Yeah. Angry?
Sure. There's a lot of conservatives in New York.
Well, no, there were a lot of liberals who probably tuned in hoping to see him get a pie in the face or something. And it's some sort of vicarious pleasure. And even the whole Larry David thing. That you're a racist. And then the camera cuts to Larry David and ha ha ha. And, yeah, I was hoping to get the $5,000.
We're in a lot of trouble.
So, obviously it was more important to poke fun at the idea that there would be a bounty put out for somebody to call Donald Trump what he is. That was more to be poked fun at than like Carol pointed out, you know, he vetoed skit after skit after skit after skit.
Well, he wants complete control no matter what he does.
Absolutely.
And they gave it to him. You know, if they bowed to that. They gave it to him. And like you said, it must have been that they didn't care. They just wanted ratings. But at the same time, even if it was, they wanted ratings. So then, you know, in terms of, you know, somebody who has inspired two men to beat the shit out of somebody in Chicago and then urinate on the man after they beat him because Trump said that this is what we should do. And there's been other cases like this that I've heard about scattered along the East Coast. That SNL, which is based in goddamn New York, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, how dare they? with the ethnic mix and what have you, the history of that city, you know, they would do this for ratings? There's an excuse for that? So if that's the case, then, you know, Trump should just stop lying. He hasn't actually been lying. He's been noncommittal about his David Duke endorsement, his, you know, the other support he's been getting from white supremacists. You know, he needs to just come out, you know, right flat out and say what the fuck he's about. And then we'll know what the fuck, whoever the hell it is that carries Saturday Night Live, whoever owns that, then we'll know what the fuck they're about. Because you know as well as I do, it had to come from on top. It had to come from on high. It had to come from on high. That wasn't a lower management decision.
No, hell no.
So what they're saying is this is the politics that they support in a city like that. You know, so this is where we're at. But then, you know, De Blasio, the new mayor, that he was just in Israel talking about how they need to do what they need to do to survive. He, as far as I know, he's not Jewish.
Right? No, he's as waspy as you can get, I think. Jack in Shreveport says, I took one for the team and watched some of the Trump SNL. Trump's monologue sucked and seemed really awkward. I think I saw one other sketch where he was dancing around for some reason. I didn't see the start of the sketch. It was also awkward.
He had no business being up there.
Well, you know, he's as funny as a what? He's as funny as a door jam. You know, there's none there.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do, there are people who hang on everything he fucking says. Just like there are people who hang on Ann Coulter. There was a black guy I used to know. You know, it's like, you know, we stopped talking. Well, I mean, over a few political things. But I couldn't reason with him anymore. And he was just like, man, Ann Coulter's so hot. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What?
I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, man, it'll come up with this racial shit, man, because she used to fuck around with Dinesh D'Souza. I'm like, yeah, Dinesh D'Souza, a real motherfucking example of Republicanism.
Yeah, Dinesh D'Souza is the OG.
You know, fuck him, man. He comes over to America, been here 5 minutes, and says, you know, we really need to be kissing the asses of white people because, I mean, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened, you know, this America and shit. Marries a chick named Dixie Brubaker. You know, I mean, come on, Bob. I'm all for every goddamn thing. Everybody should marry, intermarry, fuck everybody, you know. But, you know, wait a goddamn minute. See, when you do shit like that, you're making a motherfucking political statement. You know, he went out of his way. Dixie Brubaker? I mean, come on. God damn, man. You know? And then turn around and it's another moral fucking midget. Talked all this shit about Obama. You know, who we can talk about all day, but he was just talking bullshit about Obama. Makes this entire fucking film. Goes all over the country talking this shit, how you just have to watch this because there's just so much we don't know about this man. And it's like, yeah, why you're fucking somebody
else?
Yeah,
but that's a business model. I mean, that goes back to the Clinton Chronicles. I mean, the Clinton Chronicles were so ridiculous that even Jerry Falwell stepped back from them and said, well, I think there's some crazy stuff in there. And you know what? When you're too crazy for Jerry Falwell.
Falwell.
Whew! But there's, I mean, you know, I think about Richard Mellon Scaife and the hunting of the president. And I feel really kind of dirty defending Bill Clinton when we know what he did to working class people in this country. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit there and I can't afford to pretend angry that's going to be okay. Note coming in from Jim. He says, remember Clinton's reinventing government? He said, I still have a copy. The blueprint is still being used. And it is. Meanwhile, Jim notes, hi, angry. Ben Carson is a traitor to any form of reality and a shill. It is being truly reinvented to the point of complete destruction.
Yeah. What's up, Jim? I mean, yeah, but like I said, you know, it's gotten to the point where, you know, you have to, you know, at least I feel anyway, you have to admit that, you know, like, I can't remember his name right now, but I got his book, you know, in the house, The Madness of Crowds, the Scotsman who wrote about this. And, you know, 70% of any number of people, by his estimation, will simply go along with things because they're afraid not to go along with things. And the Republican clown car has gotten to the point where they've allowed the Tea Party, which was created by accident, they were just supposed to be a tool of the Koch brothers, but has taken on a life of its own. You know, they have used violence. A woman was stomped at some Republican goddamn event. It was caught on tape. Nothing. There were other people pushed. There've been Sig Heils at various Tea Party events. They come around where the president is speaking with firearms and what have you, and the police are saying, well, we're monitoring, but we can't do anything about it. You know, they had one of those idiots on was it Hannity or one of these other goddamn shows? He was a complete numbskull. He had absolutely nothing to say. All he kept saying was, it's my right, and nobody's going to take my gun, right? Yeah. So, you know, they got that in their fucking Bibles. They jumped on Obama for talking about, you know, them going to their guns and their Bibles, for telling the truth, basically. And this monster has taken a life of its own. And what's worse is that it's aimless.
It has every possibility of getting all Frankenstein and turning on its creator.
It is. Because the fact that Ben Carson is up there shows the fucking desperation. It's the same thing when he became the head of the Dem thing. If Hillary Clinton had not lied about Bosnia, if Sinbad the comedian and Sheryl Crow had not sold her out about that lie she told about Bosnia, she would have won that election. But she lost everybody's trust with that. And then that whole crocodile tears thing where they realized that she was full of it. And then people start talking about her Walmart history. But really, Bosnia hurt her. That lie hurt her. And Obama came up. But why did Obama come up? Obama was a protege of John McCain, remember?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right? A lot of people forget about that. He and John McCain were as close as could be. It was this, you know, this new relationship, this bipartisan relationship, this young freshman senator hanging out with Senator Bob, you know, John McCain, you know, war hero, right? This is what they were doing. Malloy talked about it, and then all of a sudden, here it is. He's up here. He's running. And then the money shifted, because you and I have talked about this before. Murdoch gave $10 million to Hillary Clinton. And then when she lost her footing, that's when he shifted to one of the he shifted over to Romney immediately, within weeks. So that was $10 million down the drain, but I guess he's got it to lose. But then the corporate money started going to Obama. And then the delegates started going over to Obama because they realized that she couldn't, you know, New Hampshire, Iowa, she's not doing it there. Nobody trusts her. Nobody trusts her. So, you know, when we get up here to this thing, there's a lot we can say about Obama, but he has the trust even of his enemies. He's an Uncle Tom. I'm saying that as a what is. He's going to defend America no matter what. He's going to maintain the status quo no matter what. He's making some moves now so he can protect.
Well, that's what makes you so crazy when you hear these idiot baggers and whatnot angry saying, he's liberal. Saul Alinsky. I mean, you heard the Ben Carson meltdown over the weekend, right?
No.
Why isn't he being scrutinized?
Oh, yeah, I heard about it this morning. Man, fuck Ben Carson. He's talking shit. Why isn't he being scrutinized?
That ignorant bastard had the nerve to bring up Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
For what?
Well, y'all didn't ask him questions about like Jeremiah Wright like you're asking questions. I mean, it was pathetic.
Man, my wife was laughing this morning because we were looking at Democracy Now! And they showed a clip of Carson in person trying to explain himself and him stumbling over his motherfucking words. You know, and then, you know, like I said, I'm just totally pissed with him, man, because, you know, it's just not this one lie, or maybe, you know, I exaggerate a little bit. This motherfucker flat out lies, talks about how he would rush somebody with a gun, but then comes up with a false story about being in a Popeyes.
And he attacked people with hammers and bricks.
Yeah, he's full of shit. We all know Uncle Tom's don't go to motherfucking Popeyes, and we also know that Uncle Tom's don't goddamn stab people and all the bullshit trying to get some goddamn gangster cred, talking about, well, I'm really black inside, but, you know, I can carry on like a fucking total, you know, Tom pussy and shit when I'm dealing with white folks. Look, Bob, I know what that is because I'm a fucking Uncle Tom, all right? You know, I mean, I've lived most of my goddamn life this fucking way. You know, assimilationist slash Uncle Tom, I'll take whatever. But I've never been a sellout to my motherfucking people. I've never been a sellout to my motherfucking people. And I've always tried to represent us in the best goddamn way possible. But motherfucking Ben Carson, Armstrong Williams, all of these son of a bitches, they will sell the rest of us the fuck out in terms of power. Ben Carson doesn't believe in what the fuck he's saying. He's trying to reach the motherfucking, you know, he's trying to get that halo. That's what we used to call it, where you can walk amongst white people and they kind of treat you as an equal. You know you're not a motherfucking equal, but you're doing all these motherfucking maneuvers and kissing ass and all this bullshit so that you can be equal. You know, so some of us get white wives, some of us get black ones, you know. But basically, we try to live the American dream by studying Johnny Carson and shit. That's what my goddamn generation did. Studying Johnny Carson, watching James Bond movies and shit so that we can understand how a suit is supposed to fucking fit and all this bullshit. You know, we go through all of these goddamn changes to try to fucking live the system. Colin Powell did it. Obama did it. You understand what I'm saying? I know what the fuck.
Well, it's kind of what you have. It's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah, but then you realize that you get amongst white folks and you do make some friends and shit and you get close with people. And then when it comes to racial shit, you really find out who the fuck your friends are. You find out what the fuck is really going on. And see, in the moment that Ben Carson either says the truth or becomes unusable to them as a proxy, they're going to drop him just the same way they dropped Michael Steele, the same way they dropped Alan Keyes, the same way they dropped G.C. Watts. They're going to drop Bill Cosby. You know, they're going to drop him like a fucking hot, you know, like he was a hot rock. You know, we don't know him. Raven Simone, they're not going to support her no motherfucking more. They're just going to forget all about her. And black people will hate them, which puts them in a really stupid fucking position. You know, in a world where you are hated because you're black. You know, I mean, that's the dangerous fucking game that he's playing in terms of his own, you know, social acceptability amongst anybody. Because once whites don't need him anymore, they're going to turn their motherfucking back on him. Right? And then when the...
Well, but maybe, that, maybe that's his... But angry, maybe that's his genius because he understands he's got to get while the getting's good. And that's why he's working this hustle for all he's worth.
He's going for broke.
I mean, remember, this guy only comes into a position of prominence because at the National Prayer Breakfast, which, you know, why do we even have one? You know, he stood up, you know, proud black man, and spit in Obama's eye. And somehow or another, that makes him a hero to the baggers, birthers, deathers, birchers, booger eaters, etc.
Hey, what happened with the Arizona governor? She pointed her finger in the face of the U.S. president on the tarmac in front of the fucking international press. Could you imagine that happening anywhere else in the civilized world?
Well, no.
And she was not, and she would not lose her office, her seat behind that, the scandal behind that. Her entire political party would have to cut her loose, but not in the United States. You got Tom the Hammer DeLay.
Well, that just goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. There is no cost associated with this conduct anymore.
Zero.
And where there's no cost, there's no filter. And where there's no cost and no filter, there's no barrier. There's no anything to keep to enforce some sort of understanding of a line that doesn't get crossed. I mean,
well, they can't. Go ahead.
Rick Santorum was within a phoneme of calling him that word.
The pickle punch? That's what they call it in the carnivals, right? The circus, the fetus in formaldehyde brought that home. Could you imagine if a liberal had done that? They would still be harping on the DNC. They're calling it the pickle punk party, right? But in the RNC, it's okay. He's religious. Tom DeLay supporting, the abuse of women and children and slave labor in the Marianas Islands. That's okay. Legitimate rape. That's okay. You know, slavery, the suggestion of slavery in 2015 for immigrants. That's okay. You know, I mean, you had a Mexican here that was killed and by the Border Patrol, and democracynow.org reports today that there will be no charges filed against the dozen or so officers that tasered and beat this man to death on film, where they took the cell phones of the witnesses. They threatened all of the witnesses there, and they have the audio of this man begging for his life to, please, sirs, stop. You're hurting me, sirs. Please stop. You listen to this man losing his life in the United States under a black president in 2015, and this is allowed to happen, and there's no outcry about this. We have a stupefied population that is more worried about their iPhones and their goddamn video games and what's coming on fucking cable television and who they can fuck next.
No argument anywhere. No argument anywhere, Angry. But Angry, we got to get out of here. We've run right up against it, man. It's been a magnificent conversation. I appreciate it.
All right, peace. Please support the show if you can. Take care.
All right, see you, man. Bye. The one and only Angry Indian. And, yeah, it's time to get out of here. A reminder of the $200 we needed to raise this evening, we raised 10. Thank you for the subscription, Gerald. Thank you very kindly. More subscribers would be wonderful, per Jones' request out in Tallahassee. And 19 at 10, 10 at 19, whatever. But, you know, it's not getting a whole, you know, Monday. Thanks. Thanks for all you do to keep all of this going. Sincerely. Thanks, everybody. Got to get out of here. And, yes, Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.